welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonawala. Now, I just saw Danny pass me in the hallway a second ago.
You can hear him humming to himself, gently.
Danny is wearing a skin-tight tank top and was trotting down the hall a million miles an hour. Although Danny always looks like he's moving fast.
Yeah.
Realize that because he takes, he doesn't lope.
No.
You know, tall guys lope. I walk like a Yeti. It's a great Bengals song from the 80s.
Oh, I remember it.
Walk like a Yeti.
Is that a dance?
Danny has short parts and he swings them when he walks, so it looks like he's really moving out. I imagine if you saw a guy who was 6'5 running on a treadmill set to 8 miles an hour, and you saw a guy who was 5'7 running on the same treadmill that was set at 8 miles an hour, the guy who was 5'7 would look like he was cooking. And the guy who was 6'5 would look like he was loping along.
Well, if the guy that was 5'7 was me, he'd be a half inch taller and vomiting black things.
Yes.
In about a minute and a half, because I set that baby at 4.
Yeah, it is amazing. And Danny, maybe you can tell us how this works before we get into other topics. But, you know, you get on that treadmill, you set the thing for 6, 8, 10 miles an hour, you run hard for half an hour. And it says, calories burnt, 79.
Yeah.
And then you go into McDonald's and you start looking down calorically what's on the menu.
Yeah.
And you realize they have you can get a half an iced tea for the 79 calories. Or you can get the parfait, the non-fat parfait with the fake granola on top of it. But nothing that you want to eat.
Right.
According to the math. You would have to run on that treadmill for 9 hours to burn off one fillet of fish.
Yeah.
You just did a half hour and you're winded. How does that work?
I can actually help you there.
Thank you.
What happens is, first of all, if the machines are right and you're burning the amount of calories that they say you are, go elliptical every time. They'll almost double your calories, and it doesn't even seem like quite as much work.
The elliptical running
thing. So you're using
the
thing where there's no impact on your knees. They're circular, like big pedals, and then the arms.
Yeah, you're not on a treadmill. Oh, you're doing the arms and the elliptical.
It's the only time I want to lie about my weight to make myself heavier.
Yeah,
it's going to tell me I burn
more calories.
Right.
But I burn usually 600 calories in an hour of running on that. And
the elliptical thing.
Yeah, and 350 to 400 on a treadmill, and I'm killing myself on a treadmill.
Right.
So they really do
so
count
do the
arm
elliptical.
Action. But the thing is, you didn't really just burn, let's say, 500 calories.
Right.
That's what you burnt then. You've raised your metabolism
and you
for the next
burning.
6 hours.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
So you are continuing. If your body burns 2,000 calories a day just to exist,
right.
It's now going to burn 2,500 just to exist, plus the 500 you just physically burned, so you're now up at 3,000.
Interest on,
at the amount I work out,
dividend.
At the amount I work out, according to an eye of every gizmo in the whole wide world, at the amount I work out, I can eat between 3,800 and 4,200 calories a day and not gain weight.
Wow. Hey, Lee.
Hey, what's up, Adam?
What's happening, Lee?
Everything. I love my elliptical, but that's not why I called.
Uh-huh.
I love your elliptical.
We're going to do a bit in the 7 o'clock hour called Loving Your Elliptical. Jack Bitchin.
I'll let you guys wipe it down later then.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm just calling about the Danny video.
Mm-hmm. I saw it on TMZ last night.
Dude, I could watch that every single day.
Yeah, I saw it on TMZ. I saw it previewed on, I think, the evening news. And when I say the evening news, I mean the local evening news.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything about it on Extra or those shows.
I don't know
why they didn't cover it.
They did.
They did.
I don't know what they showed, but they were in the lobby. I did.
I didn't see it on the show. Yes, go ahead, Lee.
Yeah, I was watching some of their cable news, nightly news, show like that, and they started with Britney, of course, and then they went to Danny, and they had these wads on there that were, you know, saying, you know, this was, you know, they were basically chastising Danny for what he did. But, you know, quite honestly, I've not heard or seen anybody say that, you know what, quite honestly, Johnny's the one that assaulted him by jumping up on him.
Yeah.
Is that how you saw it, Lee?
Yeah, if you jump up on me, I'm going to knock you out.
Right.
I did hear the good folks over at TMZ explaining that Danny beat this guy up.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, I mean, look, beating a guy, it used to be you punched a guy and you beat a guy up. Then it became you slapped a guy and you beat a guy up. Then it became you pushed a guy and you beat a guy up.
No.
Now you just stopped being the guy's end table.
Right. You stop being his little hump monkey, which is what he actually called me.
Right.
Right. And that's beating a guy up.
But Lee, wasn't it kind of satisfying to see Danny fling that guy off of him like he was nothing?
Like I said, you jump on me and we got problems. I just thought it was great. I don't really know a lot about this Johnny, and my girl was telling me that, you know, that that's what he does. He jumps on people, and because I was going, you see that he's humping.
Yeah, I had no idea. I didn't know
that was his thing either.
Well, how can you be a nobody and have a signature something? Because he said in the interview, that's my signature monkey hump.
If you don't want to be monkey humped, that's an assault.
Well, I actually was contemplating when I called him and said, do you want to come on the show and tell your side of this story?
Try and rape
you. You seem really mad.
Yes.
Do you want to come on the show and tell your side of the story? And not only is he mad, he's talking legal things and all this stuff. And I said, so I told other people, and every girl I told, and I never thought of this really, once they had seen the monkey hump and pressed up against my stomach rather rapidly and often, they said, that's sexual assault. You should have him arrested for sexual battery.
That was a
sexual
non-consensual
battery.
Monkey hump.
Well,
if I were a monkey, I'd have him.
I must say, I was watching the thing, and I was a little bit, you know, I was watching it. I don't really watch it through the eyes of Adam Carolla anymore. I watch everything through the eyes of an attorney and a jury.
Right.
Sadly, because there's all this stuff where Britney Spears smashed into a woman's parked car, was hit and run felony, and there's a little bit of scuff on the inner left bumper that could be taken out with a little rubbing compound, you know? So I no longer can watch things like me, because if I were me, everyone would just be, listen, baby, go home. So you tripped on a power cord at work. Next time, watch where you're looking. No, I'm not giving you $10 million.
Right.
No, you're not going to be able to sue the tobacco companies for smoking. You know it's bad for you. You did it anyway. That's how I would do. It would be, hey, listen, Johnny, fair play. Next time, don't jump on recovering a drug addict with huge upper bodies. That would be my lesson. But as I watched it through the eyes of today's horrible society, attorneys and jurors, I thought, well, I don't know. I mean, he might have a case here. I hate to say it, but you did put the guy. I mean, here's all I was thinking when I was watching it. A judge or somebody could say, why not just remove your arms and let him come down to the ground? Although I guess you could say he was hanging on and wouldn't have come back down.
Actually, if you watch it carefully,
your arms were out initially. He jumped on you and you were like, what's going on? And he held himself up.
He actually jumped and wrapped his arms around my legs, my arms. My arms were pinned to my sides.
Right.
So all I did was open them.
Uh-huh.
And he went flying.
Uh-huh.
I think he could have reasonably assumed that he was putting himself in harm's way, and therefore he's going to take his punishment.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's one of these things where you watch the tape, and Danny didn't look like he was threatened or fearing for his life. On the other hand, the guy jumped on you unprovoked, and you removed him from you, and that's about it.
And that's about it. And I really do hope that that is it, because what I'll do, I got to figure that Johnny Fairplay doesn't have Johnny deep pockets. So if he wants to sue me, I'll do it all day.
He's going to get the lawyer from The Simpsons.
Well, if you get a lawyer that's going to take that case.
Lionel Hutz,
with that tape, and think he's going to get his third of whatever Johnny Fairplay would win, that's going to be an iffy lawyer.
He's such a sad sack. Did you see him on TMZ, Adam, the interview where his teeth are all jacked up? And
he
just looks very depressed.
When he was walking out and some guy yelled Team Dan Bonaducci and he threw his spank rag at him. That was great. Lionel Hutz had a great line, the attorney from The Simpsons, who he said, I haven't felt this sure about a case since my, I haven't felt this sure about a case since my case against the makers of the movie The Never Ending Story. Eric?
Yeah.
What do you have to say for yourself?
I want to thank Danny for doing what America wanted to see. He's the stupidest guy I've ever seen in my whole entire life. Why would you jump on a guy, first of all, for, and you know this guy's going to be able to throw you, pummel you? What an idiot.
I'd like to point out there was no pummeling. Waved goodnight.
Yeah, Newton pummeled it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing,
pummeled him.
Knowing Danny, though, if Johnny Fairplay had pulled you aside backstage and said, can I do this bit where I jump on you like a monkey, you would have said fine.
I'm the guy that kissed the guy for me.
Right.
Because I got tired of getting hit on the head with Boris.
Yeah, and another thing is, you know, Danny does the commercials for, or the radio commercials for the Perfect Push-Up.
Yeah.
And every other physical fitness product on this show.
That was the perfect push-up.
Well, it's a perfect pop-up.
Yeah. I've had a couple of those myself. Mm. Yeah, here's what I mostly got on my MySpace and, on TMZ, because they vote on TMZ on whose fault it was and stuff. And I won that one. It was not my fault.
Right.
A pretty good landslide. But the other one I got was, thanks, it's about time that guy got his. And the other one were lawyers saying that not only have I not committed a crime, but there's a distinct possibility he has. Would I like to pursue the matter?
Well, there's, also,
but
he's not.
The answer is no, I would not.
He's not a sympathetic character.
Right.
You're at an award show and Stephen Hawking jumped up on you that way and you tossed him over your shoulder,
maybe a miracle.
The court of public opinion would not be with you.
Yeah.
Johnny Fairplay, a guy who's really only famous because he pretended his grandmother died on an island so he could bilk the other villagers out of their water and sustenance. Really, that's the only thing he's known for.
Yeah, I mean, let's jump back. This is a man who was being booed simply for standing on the stage. Yeah. I've never seen that before. It's not beloved.
I have. The night I opened for Guns N' Roses in Philadelphia. I swear to God. I went, good evening! And they went, you suck! Don't do that. Don't ever open for a thrash metal band.
It is weird. I have spoken to guys in other performing troops who've opened. I don't know why people think comedy and rock and roll go together.
Right.
But I once was talking to a guy who was in, there was an improv troupe in Los Angeles called the Frayed Knots.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys would just take any gig they could get. And it's like, hey man, you're going to go down to the coach house and open for Pat Travers. So it's like five paunchy guys with glasses going, okay, we need a location. Your mom's ass. Okay. I heard waiting room.
I heard waiting room.
Okay. Now, I need an activity. Killing yourself. Okay.
I heard
changing a tire.
Need a style of movie.
Style of movie. A snuff film, you assholes! I got Western over here. All right. So this is a Western style vignette. I'll be changing a tire, perhaps a wagon wheel. Lights up on... it's like... Yes, that haggard group of Pat Travers fans does not want to see your brand of improvisational comedy.
Right.
By the way, for the 22 minutes before Pat Travers comes out on stage or whoever, play some Pat Travers music. Play the best of Pat Travers.
Not a bad idea.
How about that? Why not? I can stand in a room, listen to music, and have a cocktail for 20 minutes. I don't go, hey, man, where's the group improv? You know what I mean? Like, if I went to a party and it was just a room where they played music and I had a cocktail in my hand and I was with a couple of my buddies, I wouldn't go, wait a minute. There's no group improv going on here. What's up? I can't focus all of a sudden.
I cannot party without some improv going on.
Yeah, sure. They would always do that with comedians and things. And maybe if you're Sam Kennison, fine.
All
you're
right.
up there doing your The Rock.
Or George Carlin.
Ooh, nice segue. No, not even George Carlin, although he's a legend and he's on our show later on this morning. I'm just saying if you're a rock and roll comedian, if you're the Dice Man or Sam Kennison, fine. No one wants to see Stephen Wright up there opening for Winger. All right. I would love, you know what I would love? I would love a list of, because early in everyone's career, they're not them. Stephen Wright isn't Stephen Wright or whoever, Steve Martin or whoever it is. 6 months into their career. They're right. just another comedian. I would love all the horrible pairings. I would love to hear some story about a comedian like Stephen Wright or some any cerebral guy, any guy, I don't know, Seinfeld, someone like that. I'm sure these guys could tell you stories
yeah.
about opening for rock bands,
yeah.
opening for comedians that were horrible. I'm sure Jerry Seinfeld opened for a lot of comedians whose names we barely remember and we think of as hacks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm sure there's a lot of these comedians that have opened for rock bands or whoever from the era that you think, oh my God, how did that go?
Larry David opened for Metallica? doesn't seem right.
No, he opened for him. I think he played bass for him for a while.
I swear to you that Elton John played at Sturgis. The biggest, baddest outlaw motorcycle yeah. Grouping once a year. I mean, you know, 500,000 bikers show up in Sturgis. I don't know if it's in one of the Carolinas or where the hell it is. But the point is this is a couple of years ago. Elton John was the attraction.
Bob Bryan already this morning.
I know.
Brilliant.
Guys,
I just thought, what biker in their right mind? Oh, yeah. All the Del Fuegos and the Nazi lowriders are huge Elton John fans. I mean, they like him when he's with Toppin.
Yeah.
Better. Yeah. Ironically, when the bottoms with Toppin. But
it's something about the brown dirt cowboy.
Yes.
I believe that
yeah.
gets them.
Really? Booking. I understand you do that. You know, you do the Leonard Skinner, you do the Southern Rock thing, you do right. the 45 special, but Elton John at Sturgis, and I swear to you that was like in 04.
Did he do Ballerina Girl?
You know what, maybe that is, although Sturgis does not apply to this, because Sturgis really is the way Adam described it. It's still the outlaw biker ride up to Sturgis. But if you notice, have you ever noticed a guy on a Harley Davidson, a brand new Harley Davidson, and you're not quite as afraid of him as you used to be? They're so friggin' expensive. It's your doctor. It's your lawyer on his brand new Harley.
Let's put it this way. And when I grew up, when I was in the 9th grade or the 10th grade, and somebody said, okay, to a 15-year-old Adam Carolla, you're going to get into a fight with a guy after school, and he has a tattoo.
Right.
I'd be like, oh, well, where is he? Because I'm going the other way.
Right,
I ain't going to tangle with a dude with a tattoo. If you had a tattoo and or rode a Harley, you're officially a badass.
Right.
You're an outlaw. You were either an ex-Marine or you're just a badass biker, and no one would mess with you. Now, if you said the guy has a tattoo and the guy rides a Harley, it wouldn't make it any better or worse than if you said he had a crew cut and he's an attorney.
Yeah, I mean, it just 10-speed.
Wouldn't make a difference.
As
a matter of fact, maybe the guy in the mountain bike, you wouldn't want because his cardiovascular would be better than yours. All right, we need to take ourselves a break.
Hey, real quick. I got something for you.
All right.
Lionel Hutz.
Mr. Simpson, this is the most blatant case of fraudulent advertising since my suit against the film The Neverending Story.
Paul Bryan, everybody.
Wow.
Woo! We just talked about that 8 minutes ago. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. Homework Hotline. This is something we talked about. I think we did it one time. 866-901-ADAM. If you're a child and you need a little help solving a school problem, or your parent who needs a little help with your kid, give us a buzz. 866-901-ADAM. Homework Hotline next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Adrian Curry's gonna fill us in on Danny's Run-In with Johnny Fairplay from Fear Factor, comedian Joe Rogan. And, in what I'm sure is a wild coincidence, fellow comic Carlos Mencia. Also, comedy legend George Carlin. Good Christ, peeps! Today's show's more packed and poured up, Bill, after a night of Abel Poppers and Mr. Fister. Wait.
Thanks, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we promised a little homework hotline, but our guest Kyle Chandler from Friday Night Lights, the dreamy one, has popped up, so we'll talk to him. Kyle?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Oh, that's beautiful music.
I love the show Friday Night Lights. Teresa Strasser loves Friday Night Lights, but more importantly, she loves Kyle Chandler.
Yeah.
I saw, I'm a friend of Pete Berg's, and I saw the movie Friday Night Lights in a sort of rough cut form back a couple of months before it came out, and thought, yes, this is, when I heard they were going to make it into a TV series, I thought this is a great idea. And as it turns out, I was right. At least the critics agree with me. And the populace, the public, the viewing public at large is starting to turn the corner and come around. Yes, Kyle?
I certainly hope so. I mean, I hope, hopefully this moving to Fridays at 9 is going to help us as well. Hopefully so. I tell you, there's only a few kinds of people that I meet as far as the show, and it's the people that have seen the show and really love it, or people who've never seen it before. I haven't met anyone really that said, well, I've seen the show and I don't really care for it.
Yeah, I agree. No one's lukewarm on it. I got all my girlfriends hooked on it.
Yeah, which is another thing. It's hard to get out there that it's not a show about football. And most of my wife's friends and everyone who tunes in, and even when she first saw the movie, my wife was sitting on the couch crying, because it's not just about football. It's the way the characters are presented and the specifics of what's going on in this town. And that's what we need to get out, and hopefully people watching and the word of mouth get around and people see what it is. It's not about high school football.
As a total non-sports fan, mm-hmm. I had to be told about this show from everybody on our show saying, no, we got to watch it. We have a guest coming on the show. I didn't realize that it's not just constant sports guys and jocks slapping each other on the ass. It's about a town, about all sorts of people and relationships, almost like any other show where The Office is not even a good example, because The Office actually takes place almost constantly in the office. This right. has other people and outside interests and outside relationships that are far more important than the sport itself.
It's far different from what people imagine it is, and I think that's the word that NBC is trying to get out, and that's certainly the word that we're trying to get out on.
Well,
Friday.
every show, minus Seinfeld, but every sitcom you've ever liked, took place in an advertising firm or law office or whatever it is, doesn't mean you have to be interested in advertising to enjoy the show.
Right.
You just have to be interested in life and drama and human drama and characters. Hey, Kyle Chandler, coach from Friday Night Lights.
Yes, sir.
I was watching another show I enjoyed, 2020, a couple of weekends ago, and they showed...
I can't wait to find out where this is going.
Well, I'm surprised no one has told you about this. They had a very interesting, moving story about an actual combat veteran who received an RPG, one of those rocket-propelled grenade things that got lodged inside of him. And then they showed your clip of... St. Elsmere. What the hell is that show?
Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy. They showed the clip you were blown up in Grey's Anatomy, because you played the bomb detection guy.
Yeah, are you talking about the fellow that they transport on the helicopter?
Yeah.
Yes.
Take him back, and then the guys made the decision, screw that, we're going to take him anyway, and they all...
Right.
They all agreed on it.
That right.
was an incredible story, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was nice to see you blown up for a second time.
Oh, well, thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
And by the way, do you get a check in the mail, a residual check in the mail, if they show 0.2 of a second of you exploding?
That's right. My wife's got a little box. It's my blow-up box.
Can I ask you about next season on Friday Night Lights? Is there any way that Street is going to walk again?
He's going to try. There's a story where he actually goes, and there's some experimental drugs that he's going to attempt to get hold of. You'll have to just see
what happens.
About
your daughter? Your daughter on the show who's dating the quarterback?
Yeah.
How's that relationship going?
Yeah, she needs to be locked in her little room is what my daughter needs.
She's hot, though.
Brat. All she does is complain all the time.
She is a little whiny.
Now, she's spectacular. Some of my favorite scenes on the show when I'm doing them is I like being out on the football field and doing all that. That's fun. But I love doing the scenes with my wife and my daughter.
The actress who plays your wife is
emotionally charged, and I get to, I get to experience. It's family life. So I'm married and I have family, and I get to use a lot of that. And it's interesting. I understand it.
Kyle, first off, who wants to do stuff they live? That's my feeling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You should be playing a swinging maverick bachelor. You should be the Joe Namath of wherever, Texas.
That's weird how our minds work.
I do that on my days off.
Hey, I was thinking Aquaman. I don't know why.
Yes.
I just thought, you should probably play Aquaman.
Something with the word man at the end of it. Hey, Kyle Chandler, coach from Friday Night Lights. See why I do that?
Yeah.
Couple coach things. Did you play any high school ball, and where did you grow up?
Yeah, I grew up in, I moved from Illinois when in 76, my bicentennial year, and moved down to Loganville, Georgia, which is very rural at the time. A few towns over, a couple months later, that's when Larry Flint got shot on the steps of Lawrenceville.
Right. Wow.
I played 2 years of high school football, I was very ineffective. I never had that no-kill attitude, for one thing, that bloodlust. But the fact of the matter was, I was like 5'4 and weighed 130 pounds the first year, and then I was like 6 foot, 120 pounds the second year. So,
yeah, it's really weird, because when puberty kicks in, sometimes it's like being on steroids. It's hormones. It's steroids. You know what I mean?
Steroids.
I mean, you see guys, and the problem is some guys get on the juice when they're 17 and some guys get on the juice when they're 13. Now, the problem is when you're a guy and your steroids haven't kicked in, your God-given steroids haven't kicked in, and you're standing next to a dude who has, he's got hair and veins and muscles popping from every corner of his body, and you're looking like a waif model. I mean, you're looking like a...
You're fighting Heidi Klum.
Exactly,
you're smooth and...
Like as a waif model.
Yes. Hey, Kyle, season premiere tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Friday Night Lights. We'll be watching. Also, you're in The Kingdom as well?
Yeah, The Kingdom.
That's I didn't know you were in The Kingdom.
Check it out. It's a lot of fun.
Pete Berg
directed that as well.
Yeah, is that a Pete Berg connection thing?
It is a Pete Berg connection. He directed the movie Friday Night Lights, the television pilot Friday Night Lights, and the movie The Kingdom.
And thus he recognizes a good actor when he works with one. Or you kissed so much Pete Berg ass that he could not put you in the movie. Either way.
Yeah.
Well, mazel tov to you, as they say over there in Texas when it comes to football. Kyle Chandler, Friday Night Lights, tomorrow night, season premiere, NBC, 9 o'clock. All right. Homework hotline. You call in with your homework problems, and I will solve them. Now, I know...
Are there parameters?
No.
No. Could you be science, math, history.
You could have a problem at school.
Social.
At school.
Social.
Maybe you're being bullied at school. Maybe you can't get a prom date. Mm. You call in. I'll give you the answer. 866-901-ADAM. I also hear that Don Imus is going to be phoning this show in about 10 minutes as well. Also, we have to speak to Adrienne Curry from The Next Top Model. She won a couple years back. She actually was there during the whole Fox Awards, Reality Awards debacle with Bonaducci. It was all over the news last night, so we'll talk to a firsthand witness. We'll do all that next.
Let's check Adam's voicemail on the Adam Carolla Show.
Adam Carolla, he hangs from the street and has the Huckle beat. I like Adam Carolla, I listen to him daily, nightly, every morning. I listen to the podcast, yeah. Rocking the podcast every single day. Adam Carolla, yeah.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
Listen, I don't want to tell you how to lead your life, but KFED, focus on those kids.
Yeah.
You don't have time to be leaving long-winded wigger messages into the Ace Man's phone machine. All right, homework hotline. You have questions, we have answers.
I can't do my homework anymore.
Didn't do your homework last night? Don't worry. Call Adam Carolla's homework hotline.
First, we have an adult, Dan.
Yeah.
What's your dilemma?
Well, I'm a doctor, and I got to take board exams every 10 years. So it's coming up in about 2 years, and I don't want to take them again.
I used to sit next to Dr. Drew whenever we flew. He'd do all those Scantron sheets and board exams on the airplane. You can do them away from the classroom, right?
Well, there's pretests you do away from the classroom. You mail those in. but then you actually do go in and take a recertification exam every 10 years. So there is an actual an exam.
Yeah, he used to sit next to me, and I would talk his ear off while he nodded and sharpened a number two pencil. And I would say, there's no way you can focus on that board exam and hear what I have to say about flying remote control airplanes and Van Nuys.
And he'd yet say, he did.
He'd just nod about every 20 minutes, and I would drink and fill his head with knowledge that he didn't need, and he would do his board test. And I took it as a slap in the face, but evidently he's a guy who never stopped working. So, Dan, you don't know if you want to be a doctor anymore?
Well, I don't know. I've been in practice about 3 years, and, you know, it's all right. It's a good job, but...
You don't have a passion for it, it sounds like.
Well, I do have a passion for it, but, I like doing other things, like, listening to you guys on the radio.
Right. Yeah, well... That's good for zero money an hour.
Yeah.
Here's the deal, Dan. And it's kind of a weird thing because when you're a doctor, pardon me there. When you're a doctor,
it's a gastroenterological problem.
Yes, yeah. I need a upper GI. When you're a doctor, you have 15 years of schooling to become that doctor, so you can't throw it away. On the other hand, you're obviously a bright person,
right?
And you live until 85 these days. And how old are you, Dan?
I'm 38.
You're 38, and you know you have a good brain that functions well, and you could do anything.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you set your mind to it, you could be a commercial airline pilot if you wanted to, instead of being one of those old doctors.
But isn't
40
the,
years from now.
Isn't the reverse story almost always the better, cuter, more interesting story? A guy was an architect, and at 40 he said, you know what? I think I want to be a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And gives it all up and goes back to school. Who's already a doctor?
Yeah.
And decides, you know what? I did have to be a woodsman.
I don't know, but it would earn you some world-class ass if you got yourself a job as a woodsman and a hot-looking waitress came up and turns out you used to be a doctor. As a matter of fact, somebody has a coronary in the coffee
yeah.
shop and you bring them back to life using a crazy straw and a butter knife.
Yeah.
You'd get to have sex with everyone, including the short order cook.
Well, Dan, do you have a dream job?
It's interesting. My dream job actually would be to be a writer for a show.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you do both? Because writing is one of those gigs you can do in the wee hours of the morning or whenever you want, weekends, holidays. How about this? Let's be practical, Dan. Let's be practical with everyone who wants to pursue a dream. You have to pay the bills. You have to keep the lights on and food in your refrigerator. On the other hand, you have a dream. It'd be foolish to quit your job to pursue your dream because we don't know how many years away you are from a paycheck, if ever, as it pertains to your dream. How about you write a script, you sell a script,
right,
and then you think about not
yeah.
taking the boards?
Oh, that's a good idea.
That's my great. Prescription for success, Dr. Dan.
Wow, you're smart, Adam. I used to listen to you on Loveline. I thought you were pretty smart back then, but now you're even smarter.
I've often said if I could read or write or do simple math equations, I would have flown through medical school.
Well, Dan's voice just completely brightened at the thought of this new plan.
Yeah, definitely. Anyone who doesn't go to the library and has advice like that, I think I should take it because
Dan is the place where they keep those books that they lend out and then you give them
right.
back.
Why would anyone want to borrow books? You know, once in a while I get a book as a gift, and I'm like, this sucks. You know what I mean? Sometimes they have books with big pictures of airplanes and race cars
yeah.
and stuff. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. But it's ruined by a couple of the words underneath it.
No words.
No words. No way, dude. But then sometimes you get a book that just has letters.
Yeah.
That are
letters.
Mashed up to make different words.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where's the pictures of the airplanes? And they're like, this book isn't about airplanes. And I'm like, what is this book about? And it turns out it was about some old dude who went fishing. And he caught like a sailfish.
Old man in the sea.
Yeah. Now look, fishing is boring enough, right, dude? But reading a bunch of letters about fishing?
It does sound boring.
What else you got a book on? Oh, here's a book on masturbation. I can read about it.
Portnoy's Complaint.
Oh, man, yeah.
No, Steve, that was an ingenious. I learned something in Portnoy's Complaint about it.
I
thought I had it down pat. to speak.
I don't know the name of the port he was fishing out of. I don't know if it was Noyce
or not. I hope Dan takes that advice because I think it's good. You didn't crush his dream, but it was realistic.
Well, no, absolutely. If you wanted to be a comic and you're a doctor, go to open mic nights till you're killing.
Yeah, don't quit and then go to open mic nights. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You saw that Tom Hanks movie.
Yeah.
Let's see. Julie?
Good morning.
What's going on, Julie?
How are you guys?
Good. What's up?
Great. I am a drama teacher, and my students will not memorize their lines.
How old are your kids?
They're 9th through 12th grade.
Oh, high school.
I'll tell you, it's the hardest part about doing what we do for a living is having to memorize lines because we're all here because we were horrible students. Not Teresa Strasser, but I know Danny and myself are, and most people got into comedy because they weren't much good at anything else. Memorizing is simply homework.
Yeah.
I mean, whether you're going home and memorizing all the names of the founding fathers, or you're memorizing the capitals of every state, or you're memorizing the words to the play, either way, you're memorizing, and that's one thing that bad students don't do well. So everyone in the drama club, if they're at all creative, are not good at memorizing things.
Well, that's why I give no homework other than that. That's my only homework.
Well, Adam, I read... Oh, go ahead.
Yes.
Where do you teach? At least in what area do you teach?
In Corona.
Hmm. In Corona. Hmm. I'll come down there and give these little bastards a lesson or two on how to memorize their lines.
Please do.
Straighten them out right now.
This is something you both do well, because I was reading in that 9,000-page profile of you, Adam, in Los Angeles Magazine, that because you have some trouble reading off a prompter, you have to memorize everything.
Yeah.
When you're doing TV.
Well, what you can do is read the prompter 5 times first, and then when you see it, you know the context and all that kind of stuff. Otherwise, yes, I could not read it. I could not just read it cold.
Plus, there's another great trick to prompter reading.
Yeah?
And one is, it can have a paragraph of who's coming up next, what they do, where they're from, and why you'll love them, so stay tuned. And you can look up at that prompter and go, stay tuned, we'll be right back. Just ignore the bejesus out of it.
Well, I'll tell you one don't. Danny told you a trick. I'll tell you don't when reading the prompter. Do not use your finger.
Good.
I did that for about the first 4 to 5 years of my career, and I was told it was a no-no. Do not close one eye and use your finger. Hey, Julie?
Yes?
Sadly, the best lesson is taught on stage.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, the best lesson to a boxer who doesn't want to train is getting his ass kicked in the ring.
Yeah.
It's not having his coach yell at him.
Yeah.
I think you're going to have these kids get a couple tomatoes thrown at them up there on stage. As a matter of fact, why don't you get a potato gun?
Okay.
Put a couple rotten tomatoes in it. Have the first guy go up there, and he's doing some soliloquy from Othello or
Hamlet
or Annie Get Your Gun or something. And the first line he drops or goes up on, he just gets a ripe tomato right in the sternum. That blows him back through the curtain. And then you stand up, blow the end of the potato gun, and yell, who else wants to drop a line?
Shame is a powerful teacher.
Yeah, you're just going to have to throw them out there and let them shame themselves. Yeah.
I know my drama teacher, when we would be in rehearsal and we'd start messing up our lines, he'd stand at the back of the theater with a bunch of tennis balls, start throwing them against the wall, and then he would just chuck them at us if we were having a hard time.
Well, there you go.
That's one way to go about it, yeah.
You can freestyle if you're doing contemporary, but you can't freestyle in iambic pentameter.
That's right. Is that in one of those places that hides the book?
No. It's the way Shakespeare writes.
Don Imus is on line 9.
For real?
Yeah. Don?
Oh, yeah. Good morning, Adam. It's good to be with you.
It's good to talk to you, Don.
Well, it's good to talk to you.
This is a surprise.
Well, it's I just have some big news, and I'll be coming back to the radio, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Well, I'm excited, too, and I want you to know this, Don.
Well, 8 minutes now before the hour.
I always knew you were a huge bore on the radio, I want you to know that I always defended your right to bore people.
That's true, he did.
Well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate that from Danny Bonaducci, who would go on the air and hump a perfect push-up for $30, for God's sake.
40.
30. Yeah, when are you paying that
much? Are you a fan of Bonaducci's?
Well, these stooges who fired me.
Yeah.
Absolute morons, for God's sake. But I'm going to be back on the air, and I'm pretty excited about it. I'll bring my good friend Charles McCord.
Mr. Excitement?
And,
Mr. Saturday Night?
I think maybe Teresa's a bit...
Prime time?
You sound a bit hotter, maybe, than Charles McCord.
Yes.
Slightly.
Yes, they're hat racks that are hotter than Charles McCord. At least have more sex appeal.
Yeah. Hey. You should book my... have you booked my wife, Deirdre Imus? She wrote a retarded cookbook. It's absolutely stupid.
Maybe you should be careful, though, you know, calling it retarded.
Right.
You've gotten in some trouble.
It is. I mean, it's just for morons.
Yeah, why don't we just refer to it as nappy-headed morons?
Yeah.
That hasn't helped you before.
I mean, it's just like, you know, how to make toast. I mean, it's just a dumb book.
Well, I'm sure the money's going to the kids with cancer up on the ranch,
Don. Oh, yeah, I'm sure it is.
Hey, Don?
It's not going up. I mean, belt buckles or 10-gallon hats, that's for sure.
Don, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Please take this in the spirit in which it's intended.
Yeah.
When you go back on the air, do you think you'll know it?
7 minutes now before the hour.
All right.
No,
you're not on the air, though, now. I mean, you're on the air, but you're not on your... This is not your show.
When I go back on the air, I think I'll know it. I mean, I've been pretty lucid. I mean, you got a guy on this Frank Kramer. I mean, the guy's got one eye, for God's sake.
Adam, this is radio.
You're talking about Frosty hiding Frank.
And if he can do a show with one eye, then my God, I can do a show with one lung, for God's sake.
I think he has both eyes.
I didn't know he had a problem. This is the show that follows us in Los Angeles.
Well, got one eye.
I should say.
I mean, it's got one eye, for God's sake. I mean, Jesus Christ, how do you do a radio show with one peeper?
Well, maybe he puts the eye in radio.
Oh, 5 minutes now before the hour.
There are some people that think they can do radio better than you with one eye tied behind their back.
That's right.
It might be Frosty.
I'm excited about it. And I've had all of the sports programming taken off of my cable satellite provider. So I won't be watching any female basketball anymore.
Oh, yeah. I understood. Yeah.
But, Adam, I got to tell you, I was in the afternoon on a Saturday, and I was watching that Rutgers basketball game.
Oh, no.
And I was watching the girls from Tennessee, and they looked like they didn't want to win. I mean, they were scared to death.
Oh, I see.
And those are Rutgers girls, I mean, just really banging underneath those boards, man, I'll tell you.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Yeah, first off, you're a legend, so I appreciate you taking some time to talk to
absolutely.
Us.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. It was 4 minutes now before the hour.
We have legendary comedian George Carlin.
I love George Carlin.
I do too, and we need to hang up so that we can take a break so that we can be ready for him to call in at 7 a.m.
Well, go ahead and do that. I mean, I'm not sitting here with my fingers crossed hoping you'll keep me on till the end of the show, for God's sake.
I appreciate that. Don, do you want to give the time out one more time for
me? Yeah, it's coming up on 3 minutes now before the hour. It's Adam Carolla and Danny Bonaduce, Teresa Strasser. Yeah, yeah.
Don Imus, everyone. We look forward to hearing you back
Thank
on
you.
The air.
Yeah, yeah.
Good times. The great Don Imus. Take a quick break, and I don't have many comedy... inspirations, many people that inspired me to get into comedy, but I do have one. George Carlin. I did have his records growing up. I had the Beach Boys and George Carlin. Hear a guy talk about pot or a guy sing about surfing. That was my childhood. So George Carlin, legendary comedian George Carlin on the Adam Carolla Show next.
The Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser. Coming up this morning, comedian Joe Rogan. A spirited round of what can't Adam complain about. We'll do a little gay walking and talk to legendary comic George Carlin.
What the f*** do white people have to be blue about? White people ought to understand their job is to give people the blues, not to get them.
866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Legendary comedian George Carlin on the line. George.
Hi, how you doing?
Great to speak to you.
Thank you, thanks. The same is true.
You're on the air with Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaduce as well.
Well, thank you.
Hello.
So,
hello.
George, I never think about whoever influenced me to get into comedy. I figured just being stupid was good enough and not being able to excel in school. But as I think about it, George Carlin, I had Toledo Window Box, one of George's earlier albums, many, many years ago, and I used to just play it over and over again. And George was one of my earlier influences. You must have that said to you quite often.
Every now and then I hear that secondhand or something like that. Yeah, thank you. That's a very nice compliment.
What is a day in the life of George Carlin consist of? Because we don't see, I mean, we see you doing HBO specials and doing stand-up, but don't see you walking down the red carpet very often or filmed out front of the Ivy.
Well, getting up very early and calling people I haven't met before.
Ah.
Very, very clever.
I'm not a big socializer. You give me past 2 or 3 minutes and I got to leave the group. I don't like it. I'm a loner. I hang out alone pretty much. I don't have a lot of show business friends. I kind of have a lot of fun in my own head like I did when I was a kid, you know. So I grew up that way, and that's the thing that served me the best. And so here I am. Still sitting inside my own head.
Well, what is your technique for creating material? Do you have a notepad or a little dictaphone, or how do you do it?
Well, I write notes down if I'm home and there's notepad handy, something handy. I have them all over the house. Ideas, thoughts, notions, things that you've already said with variations or additions, you know. You hear something on television, it reminds you of something you already thought of and you have a different twist on it. Or if I'm in the car, I have a little hand recorder. And I just keep these files, you know. I've been very lucky to be very, very productive with these comedy files. Like I say, they're ideas and half-written bits and partially written, not fleshed out at all. One line, 10 lines, 3 pages, all different things on every subject you can think of, but mainly the important big ones, you know, race, religion, consumerism, business, stupidity, a lot of things that America is good at.
Well,
and I just rake through them every now and then.
I would like to start by kissing a little Carlin ass and then have that segue into a question about what we were just talking about.
That's how talented my boss is.
A lot of comedians, a lot of older comedians, pardon me, George Carlin, but the guys we remember, you're 70 years of age?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't think that.
The guys we remember, you know, growing up have jumped the shark a little bit. They've gotten a little bit schmaltzy or old. They've lost their edge. Whatever you get when you stop producing testosterone and you start making tons of money. That's what's happened to a lot of guys. When your hair falls out and your pockets fill up, you just sort of lose your edge. I've seen George Carlin doing stand-up, you know, on TV specials that were 6 months old, and he's just as sharp, just as angry, maybe even more.
Yeah.
Maybe even overcompensating a little bit for those who might have thought he's lost his edge. He's just as controversial and just as sharp. Now, here's the question. I watch your stand-up, and it seems so amazingly well thought out and well crafted. I thought, does he rehearse this verbatim? Does he write this out like an hour and a half long play or monologue and remember each word into each segue? Or is he just that good in real time?
Thanks for the compliments put all through that. And it's all written out. It's all carefully planned. It's all carefully memorized. It develops, and it's not memorized from the first day on stage. It has to be brought along. But I'm a set piece comic. I'm not an ad libber. I'm good at, you know, I'm kind of spontaneous when I'm with a small group of people, but I'm not very spontaneous on a stage. I learned as a kid, I guess, that it was a good thing to, you know, I didn't do my homework. Let me start there.
Yes.
I wasn't a good student. I was a smart kid in school, but I didn't do my homework, didn't do the book reports, wasn't a good student. And I was a show-off. And the show-off is what paid off for me. Showing off is what got me attention and approval.
But
so I followed that path. But now the good student came back into play, and he does his homework.
Right.
Somehow they work together now, and it's just an odd thing.
We were just talking. We were just talking about this a few moments earlier to a drama teacher who couldn't get her students to memorize their lines, because at a certain point, everyone, if you're listening, you will be doing homework. That
right.
homework may not be a book report on Ben Franklin. It may be a proposal you have to make in front of your advisory board at work, whatever it is. Believe me, you're not going to avoid homework. It's just not going to be history books. It's going to be stand-up routines or financial reports, whatever it is. Get used to doing homework, because George Carlin has had to learn to do homework now over the years in order to make money.
The key is to see it as homework for yourself. It's for you.
Yeah.
See, the homework in school wasn't for you. You didn't care. It was to please a teacher or to get by. But when you're doing something for your own benefit and welfare, that's when you can get behind it.
Yeah, you're doing a book report on yourself. You're doing an oral report on yourself.
You're giving yourself oral.
Although I give an oral report on myself, why would I bother to have a job?
The history of George Carlin. Although that bit, that 20-minute bit you did on the Mary Mac and the Monitor on your last HBO special was awesome.
George, I'm really curious about this because I know that all good comedians have to go through a phase where they bomb. Did you ever just do so horribly on stage that you can't ever forget it?
Not never forget it, but when you start out and you're the opening act, for instance, because there were no straight out comedy clubs, there was always another act, of a different type. You know, when they don't know who you are, it's tough. It's very tough because you can't have perfect nights every night or even great nights every night. What I always did when I had a crappy Saturday was to say, man, last night, Friday night was great. It's their fault tonight. I always blame it on the audience.
I love that.
See, that's so funny because you are one of my comedy role models as well. But I always think anybody who blames his audience, it's like a poor craftsman blames his tools.
Yeah.
I would never think, I would just think, I sucked tonight. I didn't bring it.
Well, but if you've done five in a row over 2 weeks or something, if you've done five good ones in a row and then it doesn't go well, you might have been off a little, but you've also probably had a crappy audience.
But here's the problem, too, when you're just getting started.
I like that, though. It makes me feel so much better.
George Carlin now goes out and does a gig. He's going to be at the Gibson Amphitheater tomorrow night, by the way. We have tickets to give away.
Oh,
but
cool.
You go out and everyone in the audience is a George Carlin fan and they're hanging on every word and they're laughing as you blow your nose walking out on stage. They're huge George Carlin fans. At the beginning, George Carlin is opening for Charlie Callis and they're huge Charlie Callis fans who don't want to hear George Carlin. It's like Air Supply is going to open for the Sex Pistols. Well, there's not going to be a lot of Air Supply fans out there. It doesn't necessarily mean they're bad, but at the beginning, that's what it's like, right, George?
Yes, absolutely. And you mentioned another thing that keeps me motivated in a strong fashion, and that is I know they're already sold on me, and I know I've got hardcore fans out there, so I take it on myself to show them that they're right. To try to show them that they're not only are they getting what they may have expected, but they're getting something slightly different, slightly better, slightly deeper. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. It's another burden. Now that they love you, you can't disappoint them.
Right. And I want to hit a home run. So I just dig down deep. You know, when I'm writing, when I'm learning this stuff.
When I watch you, Mr. Carlin, I sometimes, and early on, because a lot of people don't know this, everybody goes, oh, Lenny Bruce started this big movement. And I was a fan of Lenny until I started seeing a lot of his work, and he really wasn't always that funny. He was just controversial. But most people don't know is there are as many pictures of you being carted off by the police for being controversial and starting this new wave of honest and the way people really speak comedy. How come you figure, or do you figure at all, that Lenny Bruce got credit, if you will, for starting this movement when you spent just as many nights in handcuffs as he did?
Well, my mind came after the free speech movement had started and after the Summer of Love and after all of those things had gone into play and there was this social change going on in the country. His happened in the middle of the 50s when it was really a cultural Siberia.
So he just got there first. Plus, George was a prop comic for the first 18 years of his career. A lot of people don't know that.
One prop. That was all. That was the challenge.
Carrot Carlin is what they called
him.
Did
you say you had one prop?
Yeah, his brain. Hey, George, can I ask you this? Speaking of your brain, you've been known to smoke a little weed now and again. I hear about these comedians who like to get high and head out on stage.
Oh, I'd kill myself.
I would kill myself, too. I don't mind catching a buzz once in a while, but I would freak out if I did it on stage. Your job, your act seems so well worded and so well rehearsed. I couldn't imagine getting high and attempting to do it on stage. You ever get high and go out on stage?
No, it wouldn't work now. But I grew up getting high. I was one of those kids, came from a lucky neighborhood when we had pot at 13. That was 1950, which was really kind of before white kids got into a lot of those things.
Right.
And we had pot, and I grew up on that. So I never did a sober show until I finally really put everything away about 3 years ago.
So all...
I wasn't just whacked. I mean, the stuff wasn't as strong as now. I didn't do seven joints, you know.
Right.
I kept a buzz, and that was it.
So if we see something like, for instance, George Carlin, All My Stuff is a retrospective DVD box set, three quarters of that you're going to be stoned.
There's probably something floating around in the bloodstream, but it may not be governing things, you know what I mean?
But interestingly enough, you know, everybody knows George Carlin's The Seven Dirty Words You Can't Say, but a bit you do, and I don't know if it's called All My Stuff, but there's a bit you do about stuff that I think is one of the funniest, most well-thought-out things I ever heard. It's about, really, these storage containers you need because you have now accumulated too much stuff that you need more room for your stuff, that you have to go visit your stuff. Is that what this the compilation is named after? Is that bit, or is it just purely this is all my stuff?
It was a nice, happy coincidence of both. I found that, you know, if I called it All My Stuff, I was evoking thoughts about the piece called A Place for My Stuff.
Right, which was brilliant, by the way.
Yeah, and at the same time, it was All My Stuff. So it just made a lot of sense. And that piece had a lot of universal reach. A lot of people understood that. The seven words gave me an identity, but that piece gave me a kind of welcome to the family, George.
Now, I'm doing a comedy album, a compilation of all my bits. It's called One Really Good Transvestite Story. it's just really long.
George Carlin's going to be at the Gibson Amphitheater. That is tomorrow night. And then Saturday is going to be in Sacramento at the Community Center. Hey, George, before we let you go, can I ask you one more question?
Yeah, sure, please.
When you then go to the Gibson Amphitheater tomorrow night and do your routine, how much of it, because now you're a legend and you're 70 years old, and when the Rolling Stones go on tour, we want to hear Satisfaction. We don't want to hear all the stuff from their new album. Obviously, it's not quite analogous. You need to do new material. But how much of it is a blast from the past?
None, because none of that stuff is in performance shape. You have to do things every week or so to keep them fresh in your head and keep them in performance shape.
So it's like a song you haven't rehearsed in a while.
That's right. And, and it's even worse because a song sticks in your head a little better than just spoken words.
Will people shout out requests? Do they want to hear the seven dirty words? Do they want to hear the stuff?
I don't think of them as requests. They'll shout out seven dirty words, and I think they're just trying to hear themselves say it, you know?
Right.
But do you do it?
Let me say something. No, I couldn't do it. I could give you the words. I could give them or you the words.
No, I mean, do you do it on stage? So if they request it, will you do it?
No, I don't know the piece anymore. Let me say something about the show tomorrow night, because there are two kinds of fans. There's casual people who just kind of know you and like you. And then there are people that would drive from Buffalo to Cleveland to see your show. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And for those people, I want them to know this is all new. This is a show that's completely turned over since November 2005, when I did the last HBO. And I was very sick on that show, by the way. I was about 20 pounds overweight with fluids that my heart wasn't pumping out of my body. And I went in the hospital for heart failure after that show. So I'm much healthier now. This stuff is great. I'm very proud of this show. And it's more new stuff. And people who really like your stuff like to hear that kind of thing.
Well, we'll be listening and watching. And you're going to be filming this, too, right? This current tour?
No. We do HBOs live on the air. We do them live on the broadcast satellite. We'll be on March 1st.
Oh,
March 1st. This one will be on. It's called Bed For You.
Tomorrow night at the Gibson Amphitheater, and then Saturday night at Sacramento in the Community Center. George Carlin, thank you very much for being on the air with us.
Thank you, everybody. And Danny, keep hacking at him, man.
Thanks, man.
I liked that. I learned a few things. You blame the audience instead of yourself.
Yes.
That's cool. That's good. And I also learned men are very hard to buy for. I think his box set, 14 discs, All My Stuff, will be a very good gift.
Oh, that would be a bad gift.
Yeah, you can't say you don't like that gift because you're admitting you have no sense of humor.
Right.
You could give me a gift right now.
What?
What the hell did he just say to me? I didn't understand.
Keep hacking on it?
Keep hacking on it. Keep okay. out your comedy.
Okay, cool.
Don't
Thanks,
give up.
Buddy.
Oh, really?
I thought he meant
Wait,
coughing.
I thought he meant have a smoke. Yeah. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. When we come back, T.
Yeah.
The news.
Well, here is part of the eloquent description that Johnny Fairplay gave of Danny.
You're mean.
We'll hear the rest of that. And also, we're going to talk to Adrian Curry, who was right there when it happened.
All right. Speaking of pot, Adrian Curry from Next Top Model, the winner about 2 years ago or
first
so.
First one.
Is going to be on with us. She'll give us a first-hand account of the events when Danny decided to take Johnny Fairplay and toss him over his shoulder like so much... Continental Soldier.
I never decided to do that. He decided to leap upon a guy that might throw him over his
That's
shoulder like
right.
a Continental Soldier.
And the news, the rest of it, that is next on the Adam Carolla Show.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
It's feeling a little chilly this morning.
Yeah, and even more so. I'm going to show you some numbers. You're going to freak you out.
Freak out?
It'll freak you like freak
It's
out.
Awful yes, early I to will. Freak yes. out.
Yeah. You know, you're raising the bar.
Another great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Freak out, man.
Freak out.
Freak out.
Freak out.
Yes.
Need you to freak on the news, baby girl.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news today.
Good news out of South Africa this morning. More than 2,000 workers have been freed after an accident at a South African gold mine. They were 1.3 miles underground. About 1,200 people remain trapped, according to officials. This mine is just north of Johannesburg, and there's basically an underground city complete with trains, trucks, and cars. The power source was knocked out, disabling the elevators, so no one could get out, but they are slowly but surely getting everyone out this morning.
When you're more than a mile into the earth and it's time to escape, isn't it faster just to go down? Just to pop up in China. And by the way, I know China's not under everywhere, but I've just decided whether you're in South Africa or whether you're in Nebraska, China's underneath you. That's how stupid I am.
But I know how you learn things because you don't go to that place where they lend those books.
Yeah.
So then you should know from your fan of Austin Powers that, of course, you're going to run into molten hot magma.
Mm.
Ah, right.
So, you got that whole problem there with the magma.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, you're right.
Sorry
probably
about the
just
whole
head theory. Probably head up toward daylight. Hey, Fox News right now has Danny Bonaduce.
Oh my God.
Who looks like he's just walking along the catwalk and
Well,
some
thank
sort
you
of
for that segue.
Horrible designer
gene.
We're
gonna get into this.
Do you know how much I hate it when I look up and there I am on the news? I mean, if it's hard copy or Access Hollywood or something. When it's Access Hollywood or she won a wire, it makes my day.
I wish she won a wire.
Did you like the TMZ piece on you?
Yes, very much. But when I see me on the real news, that makes me nervous every time.
Danny's all over the place. Let me just review and set the stage. We have, I should say, Yul Kwan, who was a former Survivor winner who is very beloved among Survivor fans. He wants to chime in. We have Adrian Curry, who was there. She wants to chime in.
These were all people at the Fox Reality Awards.
Right. Now, before we talk to them, just to give you a quick recap, if you did not see it, the Fox Reality Channel had an award show. Johnny Fairplay was presenting an award. Danny went up to him. Danny went on stage.
He wasn't presenting anything. He was getting booed.
He was getting booed.
And kept asking, why are you booing me?
He was about to present an award. He got booed. Danny went up there. He did a monkey hump on Danny. Danny threw him over his back, and he ended up leaving in an ambulance, down a few teeth. Before we talk to these people, let's just hear Fairplay's side of the story as told.
Fairplay.
Yeah.
I went to the hospital, and then they took me to the dentist. I was in surgery for about 2.5 hours. It knocked one tooth out, and then it moved three others. And so there's like floating bones. Like one tooth is like shattered with eight times. There's like eight breaks or whatever. And they did one root canal last night. They're doing two more root canals today. And... I don't know.
His phone's blowing up during the interview. We should say that we tried to contact
His
Johnny Fairplay.
Blowing up. We did.
I personally tried to contact him. Angie personally tried to contact him to invite him on the show to please tell his side of the story.
He said he would be happy to do an interview for a fee, and our show does not have that fee.
Well,
the thing is, the only thing I'm, because I feel no, like, great remorse that a man jumped on me with no warning, did that kind of vile move while pinning my arms to my body, and I just opened my arms and he goes flying. But I am sorry the guy got hurt. I don't know him well enough to dislike him to hurt him physically. Sorry a guy got hurt.
When you go over the top of someone, in my drunken wrestling experience, when the face makes contact with terra firma, it means the mouth made contact with some booze earlier that night.
I am guessing
he was good and liquored up, and that had a lot to do with him not putting his hands down, but instead putting his lips down when he got to the bomb. You know what would have been funny? Would have been funny if Johnny Fairplay was rushed to the emergency hospital, and the doctor came in and said, "I'd love to sew you up, but my grandmother died, and I have to get to her funeral right away."
Fairplay's most famous for lying about his grandmother dying.
That's right. Yul Kwan.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Winner of winner of Survivor 13, I believe.
Yep, last year.
You were there. So what did you see, Yul?
Well, look, listen, I was there. I saw the whole thing. And, you know, I've been watching Fairplay getting all this media publicity. And I just got to say something. You know, Fairplay is a sorry excuse for a human being. And, frankly, I think he got what he deserved. You know, it's pretty clear to me that Fairplay instigated the whole thing. And I actually thought Danny showed a lot of restraint. Because if someone jumped at me and started humping me, you know, I think throwing him off would be the last thing, the least that I'd do. I'd probably lose my temper and start yelling or pounding at him. Danny didn't do any of that. I mean, he didn't show any kind of malice. I think Fairplay assumed the risk of getting hurt when he jumped on
him. And by the way, Yul Kwan is a lawyer.
I'm a lawyer, yeah.
Are you my lawyer?
I'd probably be committing malpractice, but, like, seriously, I don't think he's got a legal claim against
you. Risk is what you're talking about when Johnny Fairplay jumped on Danny.
Right, he started the whole incident. At very least, I think Danny has a self-defense, defense against himself. But, you know, Fairplay assumed the risk. I mean, he clearly was doing something to try to get publicity.
Right.
And he's getting a lot of mileage out of it right now.
Now, if they had discussed it backstage before they went out on stage, it would be a different story, correct?
It would.
Yeah, right. I'd be the complete dick of the world.
Right.
If Danny had agreed to it beforehand, it was premeditated, then clearly then he would have assumed the risk himself. But, I mean, he didn't do anything. I mean, honestly, if someone jumped on me, I would have been freaking pissed. I would have been, like yelling at him, and Danny didn't do anything.
Does Danny have a case against Fairplay for humiliating him and jumping on him?
I think he does. I think he should file a countersuit.
You know, I was actually contemplating.
Hold on. He's taking the good name of Bonaducci and he's dragging it through the mud.
With a monkey hump.
When I told this to women, when I would tell my version of events and the one that Mr. Kwan is backing up, all of them said this because I didn't know he had a patented monkey hump. That's what he calls it. I never heard of this guy. How do you have a patented anything?
Exactly. His defense.
Put a little R next to it.
That you should have known that he does this to everybody, right? Like,
you mean that's BS?
I love Yul saying that he's coming out saying that he's a horrible excuse for a human being.
I do too. And just to let everyone know, my signature move is simulated oral. I think it bears repeating.
Everyone should know this.
Yeah,
now.
People should know. For the next Teen Choice Awards, Justin Timberlake, be forewarned.
Okay, and let me just tell you, had you been out there and that had happened, and I walked out and a 200-pound man dropped to his knees, the likelihood of me getting him up and over my shoulder would have been pretty slim.
Well, it was nice because Johnny Fairplay is spider monkey-esque in build and a nice guy to toss over you.
And he went with his own momentum, too.
You're lucky Buttafuoco wasn't delivering that speech.
I'm madly in love with Yul Kwan.
Me, too.
Yul, are you still...
I got no doubt that Fairplay, it was all premeditated. I'm sure he planned this out. Mm-hmm. For him getting hurt, I mean, the guy is asking for appearance fees from all the different networks.
Yes, he is.
I mean, it's, you know, like I said, it's BS. I mean, I think he pulled you into his plot to get more publicity for himself. The guy's a media whore. And he got what he deserved.
Yul, can I ask you a personal question?
Yeah.
You're an attorney now.
Went to Yale Law.
Do you work with your shirt off? I could see you being in the boardroom with the jacket slung over the shoulder
and
the pleated slacks, but no shirt. You have that kind of symmetry.
Yes.
You're hairless, you're tan, you have great symmetry. I would be the first shirtless attorney, and it'd be rough for the first couple of months, but eventually be like, give me the shirtless guy.
This guy went to Stanford and Yale, and I think he was also a Marine.
Yeah. Yul, you work with your shirt off in the law office, do you not?
Well, yeah, of course. You know, for my final argument, let me just get up here and flex a little bit.
I'm not saying during the winter, but surely during the summer months.
Please approach the bench and then straddle it.
Yeah. Hey, you all...
I don't look like that anymore. I've had about maybe 20 billion hamburgers since I left the show.
Awesome. Good man.
I like even more.
All right, well, Yule, thank you so much for chiming in.
Hey, Danny, lots of love. Good luck to you, buddy.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Not only a Survivor champion, but an ex-Marine and an attorney. Hey, Adrian Curry.
Hello.
Hello, my dear.
You know, that was the most interesting thing that happened that night. And it was the first night in like 6 months that I got wasted. And it was, I'm sorry. It was pretty awesome.
Now, what happened? We read your blog.
Oh, I blogged drunk. I came home at 1:30 in the morning. I said, dude, I got to write this down. I wrote it down. I'm really surprised that it was coherent.
Well, I understood it completely.
Yeah. We decided to call your blog a blong. Because we'd assume you'd had a couple of B-loads before you started blogging. Would it be fair to call Adrian Curry's blog a blong?
Yes.
Okay. So you're high and you're drunk and you're writing about the events of that night.
Yes.
With pinpoint accuracy.
Yeah, Adrian, you feel responsible for catalyzing this event.
I did when I was high and drunk because I was under the influence. When I woke up the next morning, I didn't because... the guy humped Danny. All I wanted Danny to do was go tell him he sucked. And then I just helped egg him on, which people say that they can see in videos on the internet was me saying, get it, Danny.
Yeah, you can see that. Yeah.
By the way, Adrian, if this thing ever goes to court and you get called to the stand as a witness, leave the super drunk and high part out
when you say
this is exactly what happened.
Well, I wasn't high at their award show, but I think everyone there was drunk. However,
could you put your hand on the stack of rolling papers and repeat after me? Please.
That'd be the best way to swear me in. Just throw down some medical. I'll put my hand on it. They
did a little of that on purpose. So there was an open bar, and it's a reality award show, so they want stuff to happen.
Oh, yeah, with the cream of the crop.
So, and they've got all sorts of crazy people there. And I was stone cold sober, and I even tell one part of the story wrong. Mm-hmm. And I was reminded of. I remember I was telling you, I'm walking with Amy, and I say to her, they're booing this guy because they hate him.
Right.
Yeah. I had actually left my jacket. Amy was outside. She goes, I wasn't there. Mm. You went back in and got your coat. And then when I saw the tape, I see my jacket's in my hand.
Right.
She's right. I was just talking to somebody on the way out as I passed this girl. I go, they're booing them because they hate them. Well, even I got a little bit of it wrong.
Adrian Curry, a winner of first season of America's Top Model.
A wonderful young lady.
Yes. And a Hesher extraordinaire. Listen, when cute chicks smoke weed, it's awesome.
Is it?
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, here's how it works. You know those, remember about 10 years ago, there's big cigar craze?
Yeah.
Show me a fat chick with a double chin and one eyebrow smoking a cigar, and it's like, hey, baby.
Right.
Jesus, what a pig. Show me Cindy Crawford smoking a cigar, and it's so super hot.
I do smoke cigars.
Same with weed. Hey, Adrian.
Not weed. Yes.
Thanks for chiming in.
Wait, Adrian, can I ask her a quick question before she goes?
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Fairplay is with an America's Next Top Model contestant.
Oh, yeah, I found out she wrote me. She's incredibly angry.
What's her story?
At me. She's like, I saw you and Johnny were friends. I'm like, I think I've met him 3 times, so I can't gauge whether or not we could be. I feel sorry his mouth got busted out, but he dry humped Danny Bonaducci,
yes,
the black belt.
And speaking of humping, that's all he's going to be able to do for a while. The ladies aren't going to be able to get what they really want.
Well, his gal is pregnant.
No, you know what they really want is...
Oh,
they,
really?
Yeah.
They just want his mouth full. They don't care what, as long as he can't speak.
There's going to be a mini fair play on the way.
Fairplay is with this America's Next Top Model contestant.
This baby is going to be born saying things like, my mother died during childbirth. Give me your extra food.
You think they're going to give birth to a little liar?
A little liar.
Hey, Adrian?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good times, and say hi to Christopher for us.
All right, I gotta go wake and bake. I'll talk to you guys later.
You know what? It is kind of hot that she smokes pot. I know what you mean.
Everything about this chick is hot except that she's married.
Which would be
really hot except they like her husband, too.
Makes me want to smoke pot, but
when you're hot, dressing up like a man is hot. Smoking a cigar, chewing tobacco would be hot.
Yeah.
Racially motivated crime is hot. Yes. I saw a couple of hot chicks dragging a Mexican guy behind a pickup truck. I'd be like, well, let's cut Pedro loose and then let's party.
The things you're describing are all typically masculine activities. That's why they're hot when a hot girl does it.
You know what's bumming me about
this? I mean, playing
this?
Softball when a hot girl does it is hot.
Yes, it's all hot.
Pickup truck is hot. Big dog is hot.
I can't believe I want to get back to me. But you know what really bothers me about this?
It was 12 seconds away from me.
Is that yesterday I was booked on the Today Show. I was going to start the national TV show tour at 3 o'clock this morning.
Yeah.
And be on all the shows talking about our radio station, which is the only reason I do TV in the first place.
Right.
And then I hear this cat might want to sue me because there doesn't seem to be a legal case against me. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, if there is an assault charge, most people agree it's against him, and I'm not going to bother with it. I don't care. He got hurt, and I'm sorry he got hurt. I didn't get hurt, so why would I do that to him? But the stupid move he's making is if he sues me, he's going to lose. I mean, right. Everybody pretty much agrees it's a draw at the best. But while he's suing me, we can't talk about it.
Oh.
This guy could be on every show in the country.
Right.
And he's not going to be able to. Because he's going to try and sue me for his dental work. Buddy, we should be on every show in America fighting it out.
Hey, Mike?
Yeah?
What do you have to say about this?
Oh, man. Hey, Adam, Danny, Teresa. Hey, this morning they were going off on Howard Stern. Danny, you know Fred, you know he barely talks. Him and Artie were siding with Johnny Fairplay, and Robin and Howard were siding with you. And you wouldn't have believed it. Fred was going nuts.
Really?
Hold on. Who's Howard Stern? Was this in their living room? What are you talking about?
I don't know. It magically comes over the airway. Comes into my car somehow.
So now was Howard defending?
I love you guys, by the way.
Thank you. Thanks. Thanks for listening to Stern all morning.
Howard and Robin were on Bonaducci's side, you just said. Yeah.
Yeah. And Fred is so quiet normally, and him and Artie, oh, he was going nuts. They couldn't shut him up.
It's funny because, he really, I've done that show a million times. He doesn't talk the whole show. He just plays a sound effect. But, and Artie Lang as well.
Yeah, they were saying no. He turned around and Danny held him up, and they said no. You could see he was holding him up and just chucked him right on his head.
So. Well, look, thanks, Mike. Look, the long and the short of it is, of course, Danny could have dispatched of him in a way that didn't involve going up.
Yeah,
there was probably a way to do it where he went down.
Probably.
Yeah.
But the point is. That's neither here nor there. Once you instigate jumping into the other person's yard, as I always say, I probably shouldn't have left my rake teeth up laying right by the fence with a towel over it so you couldn't see it. But you jumped the fence into my yard, stepped on the rake, and you broke your nose when it flew up and hit you in the face. You went over the fence. And in the eyes of the law, most of the time, it's the guy who decides to jump the fence, regardless of the bear trap I had laying around for him, who gets into trouble or at least has no case when he gets caught in the bear trap.
It's funny that you should say that because people keep asking what I thought when he leapt on me, and the answer is nothing. I stopped thinking then because his legs wrapped my arms to my side and his arms around my neck. I had no idea what he was doing. I just opened my arms and he's a light guy who went flying. I had time to think before he jumped on me.
Hey.
He pushes me back. He takes some steps back. He starts to run towards me and I cock my fist because I think he's going to hit me. I think something bad's going to happen. And I look and I'm wearing all my pirate jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if I crack this guy, he's going to be scarred forever.
But,
so that's why I put my hands straight at my sides to show him I don't want any of this. That's why I'm standing like a tin soldier.
But simultaneously, he's thinking if he jumps on me, he may injure my parrot. So he doesn't know what to do. But then someone yells, "Avast," and he looks, and he yells, "There's land, you rubber."
Land ho!
Land ho!
Fairplay rips out that one hoop earring.
All right, T.
Yep.
Why don't you just finish up with the last story or so?
Really? Should we go to break?
Well, Joe Rogan is waiting in the wings. I'm interested in getting his take on this.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, his name came up 100 times yesterday.
Because he's had some altercations.
I think it's because he's a real tough guy in a comic, and people think now that I've thrown the guy that weighed 12 pounds off my shoulder, I'm a tough guy in a comic.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll bring Joe Rogan in. Joe can comment on this and anything else he sees fit. We'll take a quick break. Back with Joe Rogan next on The Adam Carolla Show.
It's the
the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser.
You don't need to draft in America. All you got to do is tell people they're supposed to be killing people. Are you sure? Totally! You don't got to draft people. The draft's a terrible idea. Take some 18-year-old kid. Why take some kid with a future? There's plenty of idiots that be willing to do it, and their life sucks. They're not 18. They're 60 with fat wives and kids that suck. They got gray hair on their balls. Their doesn't work anymore. That guy will kill for you. And there's a lot of them, and you don't have to draft them. You just show up at 10 Nugent concerts. You scoop up with Nets.
And now, comedian Joe Rogan on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, as I've said before, my sting operation, free Raiders tickets and cockfighting. And just whoever shows up at the forum is getting rounded up.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't think Yul Kwan's showing up for that.
No. But Joe Rogan, you're right. In today's military, there's no more shoulder rolls and rappelling down ropes. It's about firing guns from a long distance.
It's about knowing how to play video games.
Yeah, or operating a joystick.
Yeah, that's a lot of it.
Yeah, you could have 6-year-old guys doing that.
Well, not only that, I mean, why waste intelligent people when there's so many retarded people that believe anything you tell them? Just send them out there.
Yeah.
We got too many of them anyway.
Joe Rogan, let's get right to
Teresa,
it. Are you on
right
Team Bonaducci or Team Fairplay?
You know what? I'm on Team Can We All Get Along.
There's nobody built like Rogan that's on Fairplay's team. I'm sorry.
You know, I do like that kid, though. I think he's very harmless. Yeah, we had him on Fear Factor. I thought he was funny. And he was the reason why I almost got in a fight on Fear Factor, because one of the women on the show punched him.
People punch him.
Yeah, I see how he could, incite violence in a lot of people.
Well, what happened in Fear Factor when the woman punched him?
Awesome.
Well, he was hilarious, by the way. He was heckling them while this couple, there was a horrible couple there, yelling nasty things at each other. F you, you stupid bitch, and you loser, and screaming at each other.
While they're trying to stay on the balance log.
And it's so disgusting to watch, because you're like, whoa, like, get these people away from each other.
Right.
And all the time, Johnny Fairplay is yelling out, Jonathan, you can do better! Dumber, she's dead weight, dude! You're a much better man than this! Walk away from the situation! I mean, it was really, really funny, because they're going, you shut up! And he's like, I'm trying to help you, man! And it was just really great heckling, and I was, really laughing hard, and she was being the moron she is, and the two of them together, they come back, and they're actually so angry at him, she walks up to him, and she punches him in the stomach, like, really hits him, drops him, and I go, hey, all of a sudden we stop, I'm like, you can't assault people. It's one thing to be yelling stuff out, but... I said, just because you hit your husband doesn't mean you can hit other people. And then the guy gets in my face, and it got crazy where he was like right there. And I was like, all right, this guy could hit me for sure.
Right, sure.
Well, and when someone's that close, there's a thing called action and reaction time. Where action time is like, 1/100 of a second. But reaction time is like 1/10 of a second. And you always get hit. That's what the sucker punch is all about. You always get hit. If you don't know whether or not a guy's going to punch you and he knows he's going to punch you, almost all the time you get hit, especially when the guy's right in front of you. So I pushed him and grabbed a hold of him and just constrained him.
Right.
But that was basically
because you're a martial artist, right?
I'm an artist.
New York State champion, twice, correct?
Massachusetts, actually.
Massachusetts State
Four
champion.
4 years in a row. Wow. I won the U.S. Open, but that's Taekwondo, which is really kind of a gay martial art.
I feel like as far as a host who can subdue physically a guest, second only maybe to Pat Sajak, Joe Rogan is your man.
Right.
If Sajak's not available, you definitely want Rogan there.
Sajak disarms you with wit.
No, I've seen...
He's kind of way about
every, him. Every, Joe's scary because about once every 2 months I happen into this Legends gym up the street that does mixed martial arts, and Joe's always sitting in there. Like, he has that either I just worked out or I'm about to work out looks. And it's one of those things where if I show up every 3 months and I see him every day, I'm assuming it's not coincidence that you just show up the day I show up.
I'm there at least 3 days a week. Yeah, 3 or 4 days a week. It's a great gym if anybody's into jiu-jitsu or mixed martial arts.
Which one is it?
Legends in Hollywood. It's on La Brea, just south of Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah, I know it. I used to own it.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, did you own it when it was one of those other gyms?
Yeah.
It was been like four, like Bulldog Gym, and it was.
I owned it. What was the name when I owned it? I owned it during
the DJ period.
It was,
yes, there you go.
I bought into it then. I owned it then.
Well, it's an awesome location.
It's great. Yeah. Now it's a great gym now too.
Parking right
when
around
I
the corner.
Had it, it kinda sucked.
Yeah, well, you had it when it was Rusty's Barbell Hut.
Right.
But they've since changed it to
it's a
Legends.
Great mixed martial arts gym.
You know, you know what? I just bought a condo on that corner.
Oh, really?
Yeah, literally, I can walk there in 3 minutes.
It's fun. It's a fun place
to train. Danny, quickly, though, you should know, no smoking in the dojo.
Not when I owned
it. What about no smoking?
You can smoke weed there.
Because there's a patio. Is the patio still there?
Do you think
it's hot? Yes, the patio actually has a cage there. Excuse me?
Sorry, just to jump back to a previous topic. Do you think it's hot when pretty girls smoke pot?
Weed? Oh, hell yeah. That means they're cool and they're laid back. Plus, they're much more fun to make out with.
Do you think it's hot when hot girls exist?
I think that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I would go with hot.
Yeah. Well, Joe and I were talking about me starting a family and many other things during the commercial break. But, Joe, are you a confirmed perpetual bachelor?
No, not necessarily. You know, I have a girlfriend, and I don't necessarily think that, you know what I think? I think do what you want to do and enjoy your life. And if, you know, you come to a point in your life where you want to be with one person for the rest of your life, then do that.
How long have you been with your girlfriend?
You know what? I honestly don't like talking about personal stuff on the air because I think it gets a little weird. And I've had people come up to me and ask me questions after I've talked about personal stuff on the air.
No.
And I'm like, you know what? I give you, like, basic points, but that's about it. I don't like...
I see.
I apologize in advance. Exactly. How big is your wife?
Hey. So we're not going to get into the whole herpes thing.
Personal.
What?
Huh?
How dare you?
Joe Rogan is going to be at the Playboy Comedy Show live in Las Vegas at the Lounge in the Palms Hotel and Casino. That's coming up this Saturday. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take ourselves a break. And when we come back, amongst other things, I want to talk to Joe about sensory deprivation tanks. This is a way to...
Way more interesting than his relationship.
I think you guys will find
almost
this...
the same as my relationship.
Interesting, because this is a way to hallucinate without drugs.
Oh.
If you doubled up?
Yes, we took mushrooms and then went in there.
Boy, this is going to be fun.
Now this is a show.
And a little more Johnny Fairplay talk as well. Next with Joe Rogan.
Danny Bonaduce and Teresa Strasser, and more with comedian Joe Rogan on The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, it wouldn't be a Joe Rogan appearance if I didn't ask him about his sleep deprivation tank and his ongoing battle with Carlos Mencia.
Well, sensory deprivation.
I should say it was my sleep deprivation that made me screw that one up. Let's talk Carlos first. How's that going?
There's no going. I mean, I've talked about that ad nauseum. If you really want to discuss it, I mean, it's pretty simple.
Want us to get back to your girlfriend?
Because one of us should.
He rips off material. You're about the only one gutsy enough to say anything about it, and that's the end of it.
Well, that's basically it. I mean, it's real simple. I mean, the only reason why it happened was because he called me onto the stage. He said, you know, that I don't have the balls to say. I called him Carlos Menstelia.
Because
I brought up the next comic, and the next comic was a writer for him, and I used the word Menstelia, which is what all comedians call him.
Mm-hmm.
And he got on stage, took the microphone away from the guy, and said that I didn't have the balls to say it to his face. And I was like, this is hilarious. Like, you know, people get really delusional when they get famous and they get, you know, a certain amount of success. Your ego blows up. And he just, for whatever reason, just decided that all of a sudden, like, he was going to get on stage and they were going to melt. And it was going to be, he was just going to show me what's up. You know, I'm Carlos Mencia and this and that. And luckily we had a camera. So we videotaped it. And then my video employee, my guy who does the little things for my website, he just pieced it together with obvious clips of him stealing other people's material and other comedians saying, yeah, he steals constantly.
Well,
and then we threw it up on the
whether
internet.
Whether you're Bonaduce throwing someone over your shoulder or Carlos Mencia, not to lump you two in together, it just struck me that there's video of everything now.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it?
In the old days, and when I say old days, I mean 10 years ago, we would have had to hear from Danny. Danny would have stroked his beard.
Yeah.
He would have taken a draw off a corncob pipe, and he would have said, kiddies, let me tell you about the time I threw Johnny Fairplay over my shoulder. And then 100 years from now, it would have turned into Johnny Fairplay, 6'5", 285,
ex-pro
wrestler, dives on Bonaduce. Bonaducci picks him up over his head, does a double suplex and a pile driver into a folding chair. Like, now everything's just on tape.
It's so
amazing. You can't lie anymore.
It's so amazing when you think back on human history. I mean, what really happened? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's no pictures.
Well,
you know what I mean? Stories about
here we would anything. If we now would see George Washington crossing the Potomac smoking in a folding chair.
Right. Beating his slaves.
On YouTube. But right. Yes. There probably would be no Wild Bill Hickok or any of these legendary guys of, right. You know, that's like he once shot a man.
For snoring too loud.
He shot a man at 800 paces. And the bullet passed through the man's nostril and came out his ear and didn't cause any damage.
Right. That is real.
Right.
Turns out Wild Bill did not hold aces and eights. He had like two pair, but not aces nor eights. No dead man's hand.
Video is fascinating. It's fascinating how much is available with cell phones. And I mean, everyone has the capability of taking something, capturing it, and then the whole Kramer thing.
Yeah.
Like, that was insane.
Well, that was insane
I was saying, I don't think, you know, I just had young twins. I don't think there'll be a meaningful event that takes place that they can't go home and watch.
Although, you know what's weird? That Andy Dick fight didn't seem to have been captured. You know the one I'm talking about at the Comedy Store?
Any altercation.
Which one is it? So many with Andy Dick.
The most recent one with John Lovitz.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that was at the Laugh Factory.
Right, thank you.
No, that one didn't get... Well, that was in the... There was a bar area where that happened. It was a real tight little small area, you know.
You've had your feuds with Andy Dick.
No, not really. I mean, not feuds. I think Andy's hilarious, and I love that little freak. He's just, he's Andy Dick. And, you know, when you work with him for 5 years, you just know what Andy Dick is, and that's just what he is.
You know, he's
a very funny guy, and he's not a mean person. He's just
not mean. But I'll tell you, you are a much more forgiving guy, or maybe just a nicer guy in certain ways than I am, for sure. I find Andy Dick, to be semi-repulsive at times, and I've met him 10 times in public, and 7 of them, he was gushing blood from somebody punching him in the face. So other people
Isn't
find
that punishment
him.
Enough?
It is, but he came in here and he's doing an interview, and all of a sudden I notice he's dripping blood on our floor. And I look at his hand, and it's done in regular tape, like that he borrowed from a secretary.
That's
and
hilarious.
I said, how bad's that cut, man? And he takes the tape off, and he has smashed a beer bottle over someone else's head, and it broke. And he is sliced down to the bone and needs stitches right now. And what's he do? He goes get Stickums from the office and tries to close the cut up.
Oh,
he's
wow.
He
broke a bottle over somebody's head?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's a weird, drunken, sort of passive and violent at the same time.
He's
ferret.
Dangerous when he's intoxicated.
Yes, but which is 90% of the time.
When I worked with him on news radio, he wasn't intoxicated most of the time. I mean, he was baked a little bit. But, you know, baked is a lot easier to handle. It's
but
the alcohol.
Shields was baked. It would have been
the
hot.
Alcohol, I got to tell you, alcohol's the worst.
She was on the other show.
Wrong show.
It was the same show.
Hey, that's Caroline.
I'm just going for a hot chick reference.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
You have something to say?
Yeah. Hey, Joe. Hey, guys. I love the show.
What's up, Bob?
Thanks.
Hey, Joe. Do you know the Mikey Show in San Diego, the local show? You were on it a few times.
Yeah.
Do you know the story about Carlos?
Yeah, how he went on the show and was talking about how he doesn't steal material and then went and did a bit that was another radio station's signature bit.
Yeah, word for word.
Yeah, word for word. And then they said they would never have him on the air again, and it's all on the internet. I mean, he's a really dumb guy. He's not capable of coming up with his own material. So what he does, he's a little parrot. Just
I know, but
it.
word for word.
I know, it's hilarious. Ridiculous. But, if you see, it's if you've seen as much as I've seen from this guy over the 13 years that I've known him, it wouldn't be surprising. But the only thing that's surprising is how few people care, and that they just don't, as long as they can make money off of him, they don't care. They'll just keep letting it happen.
You mean executives in charge
of
him?
Yeah,
radio is
and
notorious
club
for that.
Owners and all that stuff. I mean, it's all the same thing. They just, you know, they see a way that they can, you know, it's a hammer. Does this hammer work? Yes. Okay. Can I make a house with this hammer? Let me grab the hammer. And they just do it.
Right.
It's just, they use it as a tool to make revenue.
By the way, it's 73 degrees out.
Yes. We're going to do a bit I just came up called Heine Wine in the 9 o'clock.
I was thinking about Flash.
Rusty's bit.
Flash Fridays?
We'll do Flash Fridays.
Yeah. Sounds like funny. A little spousal arousal.
Hey, Joe, before we let you go, I do want to talk about this sensory deprivation tank.
it's a fascinating thing, and a lot of people don't know about it. And it was created by this guy, John Lilly, who was a psychedelic pioneer from the 70s. And John Lilly was he was a pioneer in interspecies communications. This guy used to drop acid and communicate with dolphins.
Freak out!
One of the things, but he was a super genius. I mean, he wasn't a guy who just used to get high because he was like, dude, I got so crazy last night. I mean, he would write books, and he's a, you know, a scholar. Mm-hmm. And this is back when people didn't have the attitude that they have now about psychedelic drugs. I mean, most of it is based on propaganda. We have these ideas that, you know, psychedelic drugs make you retarded and they're bad, they'll make you go crazy. But anyway, this guy, John Lilly, one of the things that he came up with, while, by the way, they came up with DNA, while the guy who invented DNA mm-hmm. invented it while he was on acid. I mean, a
Watson
lot of incredible things.
The double helix?
Yeah, that was invented while the guy was on acid. There's been a lot of things that have happened while people are on psychedelic
drugs.
Well,
the A in DNA is acid, right?
It is, right?
It is.
Yeah, well, a different kind of acid.
Right.
But yeah.
But either way.
And N is gnarly because they couldn't spell once they were high.
But anyway, this guy came up with this way to induce a psychedelic state in you naturally. And what it is it's a sensory deprivation tank. And it's a tank that's filled with about 11 inches of water. It's about 9x4. And this water is heated to 93.5 degrees, which is the same temperature as the surface of your skin. And there's 800 pounds of Epsom salts in it. And because of the salt in it, you're incredibly buoyant. Because of the fact it's the same temperature as your skin, you don't feel the water. So after a while, you sit in there and you get used to the fact that you're in this water and you don't know where your body begins and the air, and you don't feel your body. And in the absence of sensory input, because you're closed in there, the door shuts, it's total darkness, total silence, no feeling, your brain becomes supercharged. At first, it starts off like a seminar on your life. It starts going, literally, you'll have visions of things that you've done, things that are disturbing you, things that are on your mind. And then once it goes into that, it's very self-examining, very, very, very introspective. After about 20 minutes, you stop thinking about stuff like that, and you stop thinking in terms of like language, and you start thinking like energy. Like you stop being like a person. And the more you do it, the more comfortable you get with this experience. But you literally stop being. You like have these insane psychedelic visions, you know, and you become like the. I mean, it's
scary,
very,
or comforting.
Yeah, well, in a way, scary. You know, I don't do it too much because it gets a little slippery. Yeah. Because regular life gets very strange after that.
Right,
because you start thinking, well, what is reality? Is reality, you know, concrete, hard objects? Is reality energy and thoughts? And what is that experience while you're in that tank? Because it feels like you're in the center of psychedelic trips.
Two questions. How much are these, and do they come with TiVo? Because I feel like if I could watch like America's Top Chef,
or that would defeat the purpose.
I think what you're saying is your ego disappears.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, you also, not just your ego, but you get to see yourself outside of yourself. In the absence of sensory input, in the absence of, we're constantly doing calculations, like social cues, like while we're communicating, yeah. we're greeting each other,
right.
And you're seeing the microphone, you're hearing your voice. There's so much input that's going on. So much of your mind is calculated. When you remove all of that, your mind becomes very pure.
Uh-huh.
It's a very strange experience where you, in the absence of this input, your mind becomes free. It starts to see the programming. It starts to see the wiring under the board of life, and it starts to look at life from a very unusual and objective perspective. It's very psychedelic. It's very strange.
If it removes your ego, does it have a different size for, say, me and then Adam?
Well, it's impossible to remove the ego, but what it does for sure is it lets you see how ridiculous the ego really is, which is the best part about psychedelics.
I'd be so much less trouble to everyone if
yeah.
it weren't for my ego running out of control.
Of course you would. Everybody would be. And it would help you tremendously. And this is a way. I have a friend who has he's an AA guy. And he was staying with me for a while, and I would try to get him to go in the tank. And he was scared of the tank, man. And he doesn't do anything. He doesn't smoke pot. He doesn't drink. Doesn't do anything now. And I was like, just go in there for a little bit, man. He's like, oh, man, salt was bothering me. I'm like, you got to get past that. Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
there's some answers in there for you.
Right.
But he was scared. He'd be, and this guy's a cage fighter, but he would not like to go in
wow.
this thing. He would
how much
tweak.
Do they charge you to go in there, and where
well,
is it?
Well, you can go. There's a place called Soothing Solutions in Burbank that I went to before I got my own tank. And if you get a tank, there's a place called SamadhiTank.com, S-A-M-D-H-I Tank.com, Samad, M-A-H, Well, whatever it is, find it. Go look for a flotation tank. You know, do a Google
search. This soothing solution. I go over there and I pay them how much?
I think it's like $40, and you sit there for an hour. Yeah.
Is there a happy ending?
No, no happy.
Besides my feeling of connectedness.
Well, you know, the first time you do it, it's going to be weird because you're going to be like thinking, "Wow, this feels strange," and you know, it's tough to get relaxed. It's tough to not move your body too because you're always going to feel like your nose is itching, but that's your brain messing with you. Your brain's giving you busy work because it doesn't really understand how to just shut off. But once you get comfortable with it, once you've done this experience, like through, once you've had it like three or four or five times, and you know, depending on who you are, how quickly you can relax, once you can really relax, then it becomes totally different. Then you go in. For me, it's about 15 minutes. I sit in there, I lie down for 15 minutes, and I start thinking about stuff, and I just start thinking about my life, what's going on, and what do I think about what happened? Is there anything that's disturbing me? Is there anything that I'm unhappy with myself about something I said or something I did? And then I stop being me. Then it just stops. You stop being a person and you start thinking in terms of it's like you start thinking without language. Well, you know, it's very strange.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What's scary about that for me is when you go through the scenarios of your life, and I won't use anybody's name, but everybody in this room hates themselves. In one way or another.
Yeah, I'd like to stop being me for 20 to 40 minutes.
Will you go over the stuff that makes you hate yourself?
But it will make you realize that you are not yesterday. You are who you are right now, and everyone is screwed up. Everyone's make mistakes, and you are not your mistakes. You know, you are an accumulation of your life experiences, and just because you've done something, even if you've done something really terrible to someone 5 years ago, and it still rots your brain every day, you know, that is a lesson. You've done it, it's over, and you're not that person anymore. You are you right now. And so many people are defined by their past. They're defined by their past experiences, and they use that as a template as to how they live their present experience. And you don't necessarily have to do that. And the best thing about this isolation tank is it's almost like someone far wiser than you talking to you about your life, and it's you. That's the craziest thing about it. It's like you realize that when you can get to this thing where you shut life off, when you're in this tank and you have no input other than your own mind, you get to... You get to see yourself in a really objective sense that you never do. You're constantly shielded by your ego and your own personal perceptions and your predetermined patterns of behavior that you've adopted all your life. And you don't realize how much of that defines who you are and defines your progress. I mean, I think we all want to progress. We all want to be more aware humans. We want to be better. We want to contribute more to our friendships and be nicer and be a more fun person to be around and be more loving and be more wise and make better choices. And the best way to do that is to know yourself better. And the only way to really know yourself is to do some sort of a really difficult thing like yoga or martial arts or something where you're breaking your ego down because you're testing yourself, or do something psychedelic, and or both, you know. And a lot of people are afraid of drugs, you know. They're afraid of the idea of, you know, look, a mushroom trip is a scary experience because if you trip out while you're like on mushrooms and you get angry or you get hurt, you can go down a dark road, and when you're done, you're shaken and confused, and you can be a mess for a couple weeks. Well, the beautiful thing about the isolation tank is if you're ever in a place where you're like, "Whoa, I need a breather right here," boom, open the door, whang, real life slaps you right in the face. Whang.
Oh, that was that.
And then, whang, right in the face. But hold on a second, Joe.
That's the place I usually go.
We got to take a break. I feel like I'm getting a contact high, but I just want to say, A, I ain't no square. I can dig it. B, I saw Mencia do this exact
He was on and on
He did
about
20
the
minutes
deprivation.
On the sensory deprivation. Just last night, the Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan, everybody, at the Playboy Comedy Show in Vegas at the Lounge in the Palms Hotel
Saturday
and Casino.
Saturday night.
Joe,
funny and deep.
Always enlightening.
Thank you, man. Always fun to be on.
We'll take a break. We'll do What Can't Adam Complain About? 866-901-ADAM. I am a black belt in the art of complaining. That's right, the ancient art of complaining. You see if you can get the black belt in the art, in the discipline of complaining. I will take my shoes off right now as I enter the complaint dojo.
Okay.
You see if you can get the ace man to tap out. I've never been beaten. 866-901-ADAM. We'll do it next.
It's time for a spirited round of What Can't Adam Complain About? You call in with the topic at 866-901-ADAM and find out how the Ace Man can complain about anything.
Adam, I don't think you can complain about people who like to complain about things.
It's just like a thief can complain about getting his own car stereo ripped off. I can complain enough for the rest of you. I don't need your help.
What can't Adam complain about on the Adam Carolla Show?
Well, I don't think I can be stumped, but you mortals, go ahead. Knock yourselves out. Let's get started.
I can't believe there's someone else who says that.
Stuff. The world is full of it. And one man has a complaint for it all. This is What Can't Adam Complain About?
That's right. Mortals. Me, Bonaducci, and Dr. Bombay are the only folks that address others as mortals. Well, I'm going to start at the top, and I'm going to work my way down to the bottom. Melinda?
Yes?
Just like I'm doing with my career. What can't I complain about?
Paperless drywall.
Paperless drywall. Well, who could complain about drywall that doesn't have paper, so it doesn't absorb the moisture, so we don't get all the fungus and the black lung? I'll tell you who can. I can, bitch, and I'll tell you why.
Sorry, Melinda.
Because I used to be in the business, and when I was in the business, half this crap doesn't exist and didn't exist, or it did and it was twice as expensive. You see, when I go into the hardware store now and I see an 18-volt cordless drill with a half-inch chuck and variable speed, and I see it's $19, I'm not happy. I'm rich. I could have afforded it at its old price, which was $200, which is what I was paying for the lesser version of this drill. You see, when I did it for a living, I paid $200 for the retarded second cousin of this drill, but I made $9 an hour. So I worked 25 hours to make this payment on a goddamn drill that sucked, whereas now you guys work an hour and a half to get the same drill that I can now afford in the time it took me just to talk about that drill. It bumps me. Yes, breakthroughs are great, but the thing that's great about them is also the thing you hate about them. Sure, I love TiVo, but I think about all the years I didn't have it, and I weep. I weep a tear for the TiVo man.
May I just not only commend you, but point out your absolute accuracy? I ordered my living room of my condo split in half, so it was about what I have our own bedroom. And the guy did it in an afternoon. The 2x4s aren't. They're made of steel.
Yes.
And the drywall went in with these screws. There was a third bedroom in my house a day after I asked.
Snap some lines on the slab with your chalk line. Put down a little metal track with your Hilti gun. Powder-actuated pin driver. Kaboom! Snap in some of those metal studs already drilled out so you can go ahead and pull your electrical conduit and bing, bang, boom. You got yourself a Bonaducci room.
That's exactly right. He's putting cable in there, too.
Look out, Nipsey. Andrew?
Hey, Adam. How can you complain about the BevMo 5-step wine sale?
BevMo sounds like a drunk gay to me.
BevMo.
It really just, that just sounds a euphemism. Watch out, it's a couple BevMos in that place looking for action.
You picked him up at Mr. Fister.
You picked a bad night. Chaps night at Mr. Fister's not a great night. A lot of BevMos in there. You don't know what you're going to get. Real luck of the draw. Yeah, BevMo. Well, again, they sell fine wines for 50 cents, and that's all great, except for when you go to the hotel and then you open the door at the mini bar, and it's the same wine, except for it is a snot rocket filled of that wine. A mini bottle, a cap full of the same wine, is 20 times as much, and now you're ruined. You see, again, just like the drill, everything is relative. The thing that ruins the mini bar is that you're paying 500 times what it would cost 10 stories below you at the corner liquor store. That's what ruins it for you. You see, the price is just relative. In Europe, gas is $7 a gallon. They're not ruined by it. It's $7 a gallon. If it was $7 here, we'd be ruined because we're used to $3. The mini bar is ruined, and all the drinks you buy at a concert or a club, yes, it's $8 for a mixed drink or $12 and $8 for a beer, whatever it is. You're ruined because you went to the 7-Eleven on the way to the club, you bought a pack of smokes, and you passed a big sign of a guy in a NASCAR outfit saying Budweiser $3.99. You just paid $9 for one Budweiser. You could have got a 12-pack for $3.99 at the 7-Eleven. That's what ruins it. As a matter of fact, if the mini bar was $9 and the liquor store was $15, you'd be hanging out at the mini bar going, "This is the greatest invention ever." It's all relative, and BevMo ruins it for not only me, but my relatives, because they're super cheap, too. Thank you. Let's see. We'll just move right on to line four. Jack.
Oh, what's up? I bet you can't complain about plankton.
Plankton.
Ooh.
The scourge of the sea. Plankton. The blanket that covers Davy Jones' locker. That plankton. Look, I'll tell you what I don't like about plankton. I don't like the fact that whales, who do nothing but eat plankton, get up to 7,000 tons. A whale, a blue whale, or a gray whale, or a sperm whale, and have we really gotten into that name, and can't we just change it to something else, like spunk whale or something? I'm always a little creeped out. And by the way, kids love whales.
Yeah.
And you have to talk to them about the sperm whale. It is just a weird topic to broach with Junior. But anyway, the whales get up to literally, one washed up on the shore a few weeks back here in Southern California. It was 75 feet long and weighed like 126 tons. In other words, the whale weighed as much as 45 denallies, fully loaded. This is a creature. This is a creature that has a heartbeat and it moves through the ocean and has a brain and communicates with other creatures and weighs as much as 45 SUVs. Mm-hmm. This thing got to that size by eating something that would fall through a tea strainer. Oh, my God, Joe Rogan's high head is going to explode when I tell him this. You're eating double Mac quarter pound bacon deluxe cheeseburgers, and you're worried about getting fat. This thing is eating green dust and getting the size of 45 SUVs. Why bother dieting? Every time you stare at plankton and then you stare down at your cheeseburger, you do the math. This thing weighs 126 metric tons eating this green paste. I'm going to die surely if I eat another bite of this hoagie. It ruins things for me. I can't go to the ocean and eat anymore. Jack?
You're the man, Adam.
Thank you.
You're the man, Adam. I thought you were going to go that he's the evil character on SpongeBob.
My kids aren't old enough for that yet. All right, let's see. Let's talk to Anthony. Anthony?
Hey.
What's happening, my brother?
How can you complain about the Emancipation Proclamation?
Mm. Wow. I gotta say this. Is that when the brothers got the right to vote or when the chicks got a right to burn their bra? Is this Abe Lincoln? Is this George Washington? You know, I'm so screwed up. All I can do is nod my head whenever I hear about this stuff. First off, it's a good thing. It's almost like Jesse Jackson came up with the Emancipation Proclamation. It's really the founding fathers, or at least old version of if the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. Maybe Honest Abe was in fact the first rapper. He wore a top hat. He was a snappy dresser. Funky facial hair.
Yeah, no mustache, but a beard, ew.
Maybe Honest Abe was, in fact, the first guy to bust off a rhyme.
Yeah.
Emancipation Proclamation. By the way, how many people, illiterate farmhands knew what the Emancipation Proclamation was? I mean, he must have done this, like Abe Lincoln in 1861 or whatever the hell it was must have went, I have a plan for something called the Emancipation Proclamation. And a bunch of toothless hillbillies just gave him a big moon-eyed, huh? Negroes, hit the road! And then everyone cheered.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Well, not everyone.
Right, not everyone. A couple guys with pillowcases over their head were like, boo! This guy sucks.
How long is four score?
That must have been great. Like, 4 score and 7 years ago, I began the Emancipation Proclamation. There must have been just a bunch of people with second grade reading level going, I think that means he had a solid BM like 2,000 years ago. I think he was backed up like a couple thousand years ago. Abe! What the ass? You went to college. We're toiling in the sun, brother. I got you cut us a break here. Is there a chalkboard or something you could point to? Because we don't know what the F you're talking about.
I mean, God love him, but he was the president of the United States, but he was also a manic depressive who is now rumored to be gay.
He was known as the Dennis Miller of his time.
Confusing.
People were smiling and laughing, but they didn't know why.
Exactly what you're saying, right.
All right, let's see. One more. Let's talk to Steve. Steve?
Yeah.
What can't Adam complain about?
Adam can't complain about watching his favorite football team while eating a sandwich that his wife made for him because everybody loves eating a sandwich that somebody else made for him.
My wife made. That's good stuff.
This is what you woke me up for.
That's good stuff. Yeah. First off, my wife doesn't make sandwiches. She makes, actually, the only sandwich she makes is the one, it's called the comforter meets the box spring meets the bed sandwich. That is her sandwich, and she's the meat in between the toasty bun known as the comforter and the mattress, or the top sheet. That is her favorite sandwich because she is sleeping while I'm making a sandwich. And yes, a sandwich made for you is twice as good as the one you make yourself. I don't know why. Another quick tip, toast the bread when you make a sandwich. Always delightful. No, my wife does not make sandwiches. Strike one. Strike two, my favorite team is the Rams. The Rams? 0-4 this year. So, while I'm enjoying my team's non-victory, I can have another bite of the air sandwich my wife didn't make me this morning. Thank you for putting me in a horrible mood.
Yeah, but possibly helping me even more. As you know, my girlfriend grew up listening to you and getting her sexual advice from you. Mm-hmm. And one thing that you told her when she was young and didn't do till she was older was don't let your man leave the house horny. Mm-hmm. Just a big mistake. And she listened to you. She doesn't let me go anywhere.
Right.
She's still prepared.
Yeah.
Now, did you hear that, hun?
To me.
Yes. Now, did you hear that, hun? A sandwich that is made for you rather than you have to make by yourself. Corona the guru genius thinks you ought to get to.
I am going to say not only do not let your man leave the house horny, but I will add hungry to that list as well.
You're just saving my life one call at a time, buddy.
Thank you.
That was What Can't Adam Complain About?
All righty then, a quick break. And this just in, Carlos Mencia is calling in. Jesus.
Wow, Joe Rogan really slammed him.
Well, Rogan, there's a part of me that wants to keep these things going, and then there's another part of me that just feels like, then am I the guy I point to and say, oh, he's just a fire starter, or it's just all part of this society. I feel like society is like a vase on a potter's wheel. Still wet. Not been fired in the kiln yet.
Right.
It's just the one from Ghost. And for millions of years, it just spun nicely. But somewhere around 9 or 10 months ago, it got a little wobble in it. And 10 months later, it's now wobbling all over the place and going to fly off the wheel. Because we have done more. Maybe I blame Anna Nicole Smith for dying. Maybe it was the coverage of that officially sent us over the edge. But now we're this crazy, snarky, vindictive. Like, our society has turned into a group of cackling schoolgirls in a clique.
Ooh.
That is just giving, that is slandering and talking behind the back of not only everyone else on the planet, but everyone else in our country as well. We've all broken off into our little powder puff cliques, and everyone is just sniping and snarking. It's weird now. It would. There was a time that Danny and I always talk about where, you know, gentlemen went and settled their business with fisticuffs and Marcus of Queensberry or 10 paces or whatever. Now everyone's just filming everyone having sex and then laughing when other people die before their time. It's getting bizarre. It really is. That's from Ghost, by the way. And I think we've covered more ground in this department in the last 10 months than we did in the previous 10 years.
Ditto.
Doesn't it feel that way?
I think you're right. I remember the day Anna Nicole Smith died, and they called me, you have to get over to TV Guide now. And we covered it wall to wall, and it was the best ratings they ever got. then they felt compelled to keep covering Anna Nicole, and then the crocodile hunter died, and it was more of the same.
Right. All right. Well, now it is officially on, and there's in a way, it's our job to cover it. In another way, I feel like I'd like to be a conscientious objector to it. Carlos Mencia will be on the show. We'll talk to him next on The Adam Carolla Show.
It's The Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser.
ATP my ass. There's the cure, Carlos. Ritalin. Ritalin is the cure. Ritalin. You want to cure your goddamn kid from ADD? Because what ADD is, your kid's not paying attention. You want to cure that shit? Send him to goddamn Catholic school. Send him to Catholic school with Sister Mary. That crazy bitch will fix a goddamn ADD. What's 4 times 4? I have ADD. What the f*** is 4 times 4?
Carlos Mencia on the Adam Carolla Show.
I hate to say it, but Gabe Kaplan used to do that exact bit in the early 70s. Oh, actually, that was a Bob Newhart. That was a Newhart bit.
Right.
Newhart bit. Carlos Mencia is going to be on the phone in just 1 second talking about the Heartbreak Kid, the new movie, which I predict will be number one considering there's no other comedies in the theater this weekend. The number one comedy last week starred The Rock and was a Disney movie.
Right.
Yeah.
The number one, here's your comedy competition. Your comedy competition for this week, The Heartbreak Kid, is to beat a pro wrestling Disney movie. You have to be funnier than a pro wrestler who's in a Disney movie, and you'll take over the number one spot.
Let's see, there's a Gladiator movie. I guess that could be funnier.
There's nothing. There's a dragon movie, there's a western, and there's a comedy, and then there's Good Luck Chuck, which has been hanging around and getting horrible reviews for the last 3 weeks. So there's never been a better time to release a comedy.
It's true. There's a dearth of good movies. There's nothing I love more than going to the movies, and there wasn't one thing I wanted to see out.
But let me ask you guys this, as far as timing goes. Do you agree with this, while I kill time waiting for Carlos Mencia to get on the line, do you agree with this statement? There's a certain percentage of Americans who will go to the movies every weekend. Not mm-hmm. every weekend, but they'll say, we got a sitter for Saturday night. Yeah. We're going out and we're going to see a movie. I don't know what movie we're going to see mm-hmm. yet, but there's a certain percentage of the country that is just going to the movies.
Yes,
yeah. At any given time. And within that group, there's a certain percentage that says, I'm going to see a comedy.
Right.
Or I'm going to see an action film.
Action is the comedy. That's what makes, that propels her to go to the movies. I really feel like laughing today. Let's go see a comedy.
Right. So if you are the only comedy in a theater, as Good Luck Chuck was for the last couple of weeks, if you're the only comedy in a theater on any given weekend, then you're going to do some box office just based on a certain segment of society that is going to see a comedy that certain weekend. Now, there's always competition, but if not in the comedy department, then you're free.
Currently, I have to be careful with what I say, but I actually went to Bob Moore with the idea, that's our big boss here at the radio station, with the offer of physically incapacitating all the other morning shows.
Ah.
So there would just be us. And, you know, we're number one, two, and three, by the way, in Los Angeles.
I think what you're saying, maybe...
Still beaten by 8 Mexican stations.
Right. Yeah, what are you going to do to them?
Yeah, we're not bonused in them. I don't care.
I think there's something about just the experience, the activity of going to the movie. It doesn't matter.
He booby-trapped Pioline's donkey. He cut the brake lines on Pioline's donkey, and it went off the road.
I'm sure he has a car.
No.
Oh, come on.
I cut Bean's brake lines. I cut his donkey's Achilles tendon. It's the same thing.
That's right. Now, where the hell were we?
As I was saying, I think it's the activity of going to the movies. Sometimes it doesn't matter what you're seeing. You just want to sit in an air-conditioned place,
yes.
have some popcorn in the dark.
Now, obviously, if the movie's getting great reviews and great word of mouth, it's going to do better. But I wonder, and I have no idea, but I wonder what movies were hurt because there were too many of them out at the same time in the same genre. I mean, if a funny comedy comes out one weekend with 5 other funny comedies, it's just going to get hurt versus an unfunny right. comedy with no competition.
Right.
Yes?
Yeah.
All right.
It's all about timing.
Part of it is about timing, and I think they work this out. And as far as Mencia, I think he's on the line now. And as far as The Heartbreak Kid, their timing...
Just canceled.
Couldn't be better. Wait a minute. He just canceled.
Yeah.
Oh, good times.
Oh, Menstelia.
Can we, Teddy, do you have a microphone in there, phone screener, Teddy? So I'll tell you what you can do. You can tell us two stories. One that's going to make me feel bad, and the other that's going to make me feel good. First is, you can tell me why Carlos Mencia canceled, and the second one, you can tell me why George Carlin thinks I'm a genius. Go ahead.
Well, Mencia canceled because he's on another radio show right now, and apparently he's kind of long-winded. Mm-hmm. So they're just not going. He's just not going to stop, and so because of that, he doesn't come on the Adam Carolla show.
Well, first of all, he's long-winded because he repeats everything he's ever heard anyone ever say. So he can just continue to speak until he catches up with this very moment. Somewhere on a radio station, he is right now saying this very moment.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, he's still reading a Carlin transcript on the air.
he's doing Carlin stuff from a 7 o'clock hour on this
but
show.
But Carlin does think Adam's a genius, Teddy.
Oh, wait a minute. Teddy was going to go take a leak during that one.
I wasn't going to say genius. He didn't say genius, but he did tell me off the air that he is a big fan of the show, and he's just really, really thrilled to be on the air.
Really? Aww. And did he sound sincere, or was that something you feel like he gives up to every morning show?
Well, I was talking to him about actually him being sincere and how I was giving you kind of like talking him up because I'm a big fan of him. So we just started shooting the S, and he said he was a big fan.
Wow.
Nice.
Said he,
that's got to feel good.
Yeah, quote, and I will never forget it because Teddy told me.
George places the lotion in the basket.
George Carlin said, I'm a huge fan of Alan Carolla. All right, so Carlos Mencia, who I do like, and look, it's a weird thing. I like Joe Rogan a lot, and I like Carlos Mencia a lot. Carlos Mencia's come on this show a bunch of times. He used to come on Loveline all the time, and he brought it. I like anyone who brings it. I just like the idea that they're burning calories on my behalf.
Sure.
It's like having somebody who may not be good-looking, but boy, do they give oral. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. We love enthusiasm.
I mean, I'm not pretty, but they always say good job,
boy,
mister.
Boy, does Danny give oral. My point is I always liked Mencia, but it's tough when Mencia's in the room and he's talking about Rogan, and it's tough when Rogan's in the room and he's talking about Mencia because you just nod the same way you do when you have two friends and you like both those friends, but those two friends constantly talk about each other behind each other's back, and you go out to lunch with one of them, and one of them saying, what a dick Chris is, and the other one, and Chris is saying what a dick Ray is. Sorry, I had to use my two friends' names. But what are you going to do? Get into a fist fight with the guy while you're eating? You just nod your head.
I love peanut butter. Peanut butter makes me horny. I just have no idea what it would be like to have two friends.
Oh, you have at least
one. He said that because he has 3.5.
we'll
take ourselves a break in that case. T?
Yes.
The news.
Well, Kid Rock is saying something atrocious about his ex, Pamela Anderson, and Johnny Fairplay is saying this about Danny.
You're mean.
How can anybody that conned people out of their food while they were starving call me mean?
Pot, meet Mr. Kettle.
Yeah. All right, so, T, disgusting, did you say, Kid Rock?
Disturbing.
Disturbing.
Very disturbing.
All right.
More disturbing than you're probably imagining.
Disturbing news from Kid Rock
about Pam.
All right, we'll do that next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline Atlanta, Georgia. A 30-year-old man was arrested for placing a hidden camera under the bathroom sink of his workplace to capture images of women using the toilet. The man was the manager of a Waffle House. Definitely not a Jew.
Quick piece of news before we get to the real news. You go to AdamCarolla.com. You can see the clips from Teresa's rehearsal wedding we had last Friday.
That was so fun. I had such a good time at my fake wedding. Been meaning to
nice
say
time
that.
Time, too. Yeah. All right, T.
By the way, your dad stole the show at my fake wedding when he played. I hope there's a clip of that on AdamCarolla.com.
I'm sure it'll be on there, and you can see old man Pops Carolla blowing into his horn. Possibly.
Oh, great.
Possibly his final breath. All right, T.
Yeah.
What's going on? We're going to bang a drum at his funeral.
Tomorrow's news. Today.
On Tuesday night, the Fox Reality Channel taped their annual award show you've never heard of, the Really Awards. But this year, we're all hearing about it thanks to a confrontation between our own Danny Bonaducci and Johnny Fairplay, which resulted in dental surgery for the latter. Toward the end of the show, Johnny was on stage to present an award. The crowd was booing him. He was eating it up. Then Danny made an unscheduled appearance on stage. He leaned into the microphone and said, quote, "They're booing because they hate you." Danny tried to leave the stage. Johnny stopped him, jumped on Danny, and did what he says is his patented monkey humping maneuver, which about which Danny had never heard, wrapping his arms around Danny's neck and his legs around Danny's waist, playfully but disgustingly began to hump Danny, who then lifted Johnny over his head and dropped him behind his back. Johnny did not land well, landed face first, motionless for a few seconds. It appeared as though his shoes were still on the stage. I think he was knocked out of his shoes somehow.
Well, I think he was wearing flip-flops.
There you go. Yeah, his flip-flops did not make it. He left that show in an ambulance. He was then interviewed about the experience by TMZ.
I went to the hospital, and then they took me to the dentist. I was in surgery for about 2.5 hours. It knocked one tooth out, and then it moved three others. And so there's, like, floating bones. Like one tooth is, like, shattered with eight times. There's, like, eight breaks or whatever. And they did one root canal last night. They're doing two more root canals today. And I don't know. It sucks.
Well, first off, you have to be loaded in order to hit face first. And secondly, going over Bonaducci is not like falling off a two-story building. It's like falling off a milk crate.
Gary Coleman heaved me over his shoulder.
Yeah. I was walking into the studio talking on a cell phone. Danny was walking out, and he went right between my legs. I didn't even know it. I just felt a little tickling around the sack and went, whoo.
Every now and again, he puts his hand on my head and just hops me like a fire hydrant. This is the way Adam gets into the studio.
Yeah. Face first usually means booze, because when you're stone cold sober, and you're riding a mountain bike and you hit something and you go over the handlebars, your elbows get skinned up. Your face doesn't make contact with the stage first. So,
well, we had an interesting conversation earlier with Yul Kwan, who won Survivor a while back and who's also a lawyer. And what he pointed out was that when Johnny Fairplay jumped on you, he took on an assumed risk of being harmed. So in his opinion, legally.
Oh, and by the way, you jump on Bonaducci, you could get tossed over his shoulder, you could get hit with a syringe, you could die of secondhand smoke. I mean, there are a lot of things you could get from jumping on Bonaducci.
Sure.
Forget about it. He probably would be in more trouble if he stayed on you, quite honestly. The worst thing he could have done, at least you ejected him.
Yeah, some of the poisons could have seeped through my body into his flesh and killed a guy that size.
Like being thrown clear of a burning vehicle. Sure, you're banged up a little, but you're glad you're not still in that SUV.
Now, I got this information from friend of the show, Doug Benson, who you know, Adam, and who's he was on The Last Comic Standing, which must be why he was at this reality awards. He likes the pot.
Like?
He did a show called The Marijuana Logs in New York.
Right.
And he said it was okay for me to tell you this. At that show, he told me that Fairplay came up to him and asked him to smoke up. But, and this is perhaps the biggest news story of all, Doug Benson had no pot.
What?
Yeah.
That means pot has been eradicated? Because when I hear Doug Benson doesn't have pot, there's no pot. As a matter of fact, anyone who's desperate, like looking for weed, like it's dry, and like, hey man, you holding, you got any pot? All you have to do is say, Doug Benson has no pot, and the person will stop arguing with you.
That means dry.
Pot has been erased. Okay. Now it officially doesn't exist.
Can I just say that if I were a violent person, which I am not, I'd like to make that perfectly clear. Doug Benson is now in the clear of any harm that might have been coming his way. He hit on Amy so hard all night, and then would tell her when he'd see me coming, "Don't tell Danny I was hitting on you," and run away.
Really?
Same night at this reality show?
Over and over, apparently. Every time I have to go to the bathroom, do anything, he'd get up as I was walking, he'd say something to me, and apparently behind my back, he'd look at her, put his finger to his lips, and go, "Shh."
He's got a lot of range, this Doug Benson.
I know.
So you can have her now. At least, I mean, borrow her. She's mine. But now that you've got my back and we're trying to get drugs and told me that guy was on drugs, you're my new pal. You can have her at least once.
Doug Benson, no weed. Yeah, that is
no
news.
No weed. The upshot is, I don't know that Fairplay was high, but I do know from one source that he was trying to get high.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how else you could find pot at this reality show.
I will tell you right now that there is, from the pictures I've seen, there is blood at the hospital. Just check it.
There you go.
He lets you know it's in that man's system.
Yep, marijuana for sure stays in for a long time.
A long time. But I'm, if I had to guess, I don't want to, which I won't because I'm not sure what this guy's going to do next, but I would say check that blood out. Might be interesting.
But if Doug Benson can't get high, don't you think all he needs to do is run in place real hard for about 20 seconds and the THC that's stored in his fat will be released enough to catch at least a mild buzz?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he, you know, bleeds buds and pees bong water. I mean, there's so much THC trapped in that man's system that all you got to do is give him a quick bear hug and a lid will pop out of his ass.
Yeah, I think he just pats his hoodie a little bit. It'll just waft up.
Yes,
I agree. Did anybody see the age range right here? One of us said a lid will pop up, and the other one said, check your hoodie. In my day, you bought a lid or a can.
That's
you remember
right.
that? You bought a lid or a can, and nobody would have wore a hoodie.
Hoodie was called a sweatshirt.
Sorry. Okay, let me tell you this story about Kid Rock.
Mm-hmm.
He was interviewed in Rolling Stone, and he says that the miscarriage that Pam Anderson claimed she had when they were married was fake.
Mm-hmm.
He told Rolling Stone that Pam Anderson faked a miscarriage so that he would spend time with her. He says, quote, she's in Vancouver shooting a movie and I have Lakers seats on the floor and I'm going to go to the Lakers game with my friend Jesse James. I'm like, baby, I got these tickets. I'll see you on the weekend there. And that leads into her saying, you don't care about me, blah, blah, blah. She finally comes up with this. I just had a miscarriage and hangs the phone up. So Kid Rock, who wasn't even aware Pam was pregnant, chartered a plane and flew straight to Vancouver. But he says, quote, when I get there, she's partying at this restaurant, drinking champagne, jumping on the tables. I'm thinking, that's a quick recovery from a miscarriage. Pamela Anderson's response is, I hope his album does well. I hope he's happy in life. We were married for 4 months. If he has nothing nice to say about me, then please tell him to stop talking about me.
Well, actually, that was a very smart way for her to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when you guys have, you know, almost, well, a third of a year of history together.
Right.
So many memories to look back on.
Fake miscarriage, allegedly.
Yes.
Now, is that $5 million offer for Kid Rock and Tommy Lee to box legitimate?
I hadn't heard about it.
You haven't?
I haven't.
All over the place.
In Vegas.
Yeah. They offered him $5 million to fight.
Really?
Yeah.
I watch all those tabloid shows every week. I didn't hear anything about it.
It was all over.
I can't imagine, going back to Pam Anderson, somebody faking a miscarriage.
Are you kidding? Are you joking?
It seems like a horrible thing to say.
Oh, I think she's capable
of quite
a few things.
But really? I know half a dozen girls that have done it.
To spend time with you, they would fake a miscarriage?
No, they'd fake being pregnant and then have to figure out a way out of it.
Oh.
You can't leave me. I just took a pregnancy test. I'm pregnant. And then within 3 or 4 months, they got to find a way out.
I've never met her, but I can't help liking her. She just comes across sweet and honest.
As she did in
I know
that,
she,
too.
That's not how she looks.
And I hate to slam your gender, because us boys do nasty things, too. But I'm pregnant. You can't leave me. Oh, I just had a miscarriage. I don't know. If we were to give out the phone numbers and say, hey, guys, if any girl's done that to you, all the lines would be packed in 5 minutes.
It's the female equivalent to us saying we have cancer.
To get out of a relationship.
Or to get in, or to get attention, or whatever. It is one of these Geneva Convention code breaking in a relationship. I mean, relationships are sort of like this. You can cheat. I can call you a bitch. You can call me a dick. We can do all this kind of stuff. But there are a couple of places where you sort of break the Geneva Convention.
Okay.
That's having sex with your sister, you getting it on with my brother, best friend, you faking this, me lying about that. I mean, there's a couple, and I would say the fake, not the fake orgasm, ironically, but the fake pregnancy definitely goes against the Geneva Convention.
But I would like to know, if I happen to have sex with a girl named Geneva, that's cool.
And
I'm allowed that one.
Yes.
Now, here's a story about another very bad breakup, that between Denise Richards and Charlie Sheen. As you know, they've had a very gruesome custody battle, and now Fox News columnist Roger Friedman has had a chance to look over court papers filed by Denise Richards last month in an effort to limit Charlie Sheen's visitation rights.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've heard a lot of it before. Prostitution, gambling, drug use, all of these allegations about Charlie and their two girls, three-year-old Sam and two-year-old Lola. Charlie refusing to let them have vaccinations because he believes they're poison. Hey, this we've heard before.
Oh, I'm not one of those in my family.
Let's do one of my favorite jokes.
Yeah.
You say you do the same list, prostitution, gambling, drug use,
okay.
and then you tack prostitution on at the end.
Okay.
And then when I said you said prostitution twice, you know how to finish
okay,
a joke?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
You've heard it all before, prostitution, gambling, drug use, prostitution.
You said prostitution twice.
I love prostitution. Was that close?
That's close.
Qualification. Rape, murder, arson, and rape. You said rape twice. I like rape.
That's close.
You're close. It's true. You can like rape, but you love prostitution.
I love prostitution. Okay, so now these court documents contain some emails from Charlie that supposedly outline his short temper and erratic behavior. Please be careful what you put in an email. I don't know why people have not figured this out yet. One of these emails, dated August 22nd, reads, quote, from Charlie to Denise, "You are a pig, a sad, jobless pig who is sad and talentless and, oh yeah, sad and jobless and evil and a bad mom. So go F yourself, sad, jobless pig."
Okay, and what exactly is the bad part?
To the Alec Baldwin school of...
he borrowed degrees from Baldwin.
He's talking to a grown-up that is trying to make him have specialized visitation with his children under the scrutiny and the watchful eye of a court-appointed nurse. That is not a bad email, in my opinion.
Sad, jobless pig, go F yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, okay. What are you not allowed to say to your enemy?
How about this?
Let me say this quickly if Denise is listening. If you're too tired or you just lack the initiative to F yourself... I'll do it. Because she's still a hot little jobless pig.
I got to run by another one of Charlie's alleged emails.
Yes.
If you thought that one was okay, you might not like this one. This was written about Denise's mom.
Okay. Now
about her mom.
Yeah.
Okay. Who was being treated for breast cancer.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
I almost can't get it out. This is so horrible. Go cry to your bald mom, you effing loser.
I mean, that's not funny.
Bald, apparently from chemotherapy, one could guess. So things got pretty ugly between these two. I need to cheer you up with something from the show.
Yeah, because I'm a wreck.
Well, let me say this about Charlie Sheen. Look.
Bald effing mom.
First off, these people all deserve each other because he marries her because she's hot. Pure and simple. Obviously, there's not much going on other than her being piping hot.
She played a scientist in that one movie.
That Bond movie, yes. Yeah. He marries her because she's hot. Thus, he gets what he deserves. She marries him because he's Charlie Sheen.
Right.
She gets what she deserves.
Right.
So either way, this is loser-on-loser crime.
Yeah.
I mean, they both get what they deserve. They married each other for the wrong reason.
Loser-on-loser crime.
And let me say this about Charlie Sheen. He's getting into this thing that a lot of guys get into. He's right at the cusp of it. But he's like Charlie, if you're listening, you're standing right now on the precipice, the edge of Rogaine Canyon, and you're looking down on it. And what happens is your hair can stay 8 years underneath what your driver's license says as far as your chronological age. But when you go 22 years, it bumps people. Charlie has the 43-year-old face with the 26-year-old hair, right. And it's starting to bump me a little bit. It's a slippery slope, and he's right at the beginning of it. Eventually, you look like one of those Italian restaurant owners who's in his 60s, who's orange. He's so tan, and his hair is blacker than Dean Martin's was on his 15th birthday. And you're staring at a guy whose face looks like the surface of the moon, but his head looks like Frankie Avalon circa 1959. It starts screwing people. Now, you don't want your hair to be older than your face.
No.
Yeah.
You want your hair to hang back about a decade earlier than your face.
Yeah.
But when you go three decades earlier than your face. Then you become one of those platinum blonde 65-year-old realtors with the 29-year-old long blonde hair down to their waist, and it freaks people out. So, Charlie, you're right there. You've not entered Rogaine Canyon yet and been swept up in the white water. You're just looking down on it. Take a step back before you slide over the edge.
I've almost slipped accidentally a couple of times. Before I do television shows, they dye my beard, but it's just usually like an eyeliner thing or whatever the girl's thing is.
Because you're not a sad, jobless pig. You have a job.
But the gray in my beard shows as holes. It looks like there's no hair.
Yeah.
It looks wrong, so they color it in. And I really liked it. I thought, that looks kind of cool. I look younger. I look cool. So I tried it once, and it came out way too dark, and I just scrubbed my face with a brush for like an hour until I was, like, bleeding. But I still wanted to try it, so what I do now is I get the right color that says leave in for 10 minutes, and I leave it for 6. So I still have plenty of gray, so I'm not trying to look ridiculous with this bright red goatee.
Right.
But I don't mind that, or I wouldn't do it and or admit to it. But when you go that bright red clown face goatee that I had, or you go that jet black that you can't possibly possess anymore, you stepped over and you look clownish.
Well, it's like any other part of your body. If it doesn't look the same age as the rest of you, it's weird. All right, T,
except
sorry.
Except your scrotum.
No, no problem. Because
that always looks 100.
Yeah. On your 13th birthday, it was well into its 100th.
Your scrotum always has progeria?
Yes.
It's accelerated aging?
Yeah, it's really, it's dog years. I'm 43. My scrotum is 128.
Ted Stryker.
Mm-hmm. And we'll go on when I'm gone.
Ted Stryker is a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
He does this show, Love Line.
That's right. He took over for me.
Took over for you. And apparently, I should have known that his name, Ted Stryker, is an homage to Airplane. But you had to tell me that moments ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's Ellen DeGeneres' new DJ on her daytime show. Yes.
Wow.
This led to what I thought was kind of a funny bit. Here is Ellen talking about radio DJs.
Some people just want to be heard because they love the sound of their own voices. I'm talking about radio DJs. Nothing against you, Stryker. But some DJs, you got to admit, you guys like to talk. And it doesn't even matter if people are listening, you know? It could be the night shift. Could be the middle of the night. Hi, everybody. This is Big Rick Stewart for you. Hot 101, 4 a.m. in the a.m. People sleeping. Nobody's listening to me. But I'm going to keep on talking. Many cars out there. And I'll take the third caller to see the legendary funk band Cameo down at the Civic. My left shoe's untied. I just had a fantastic peach at the airport. It's 58 degrees. Anybody who's still awake right now, I'm going to play some Cameo to get you dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not bad.
Fair enough, yeah.
Ellen still got it.
All right.
I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Look, if I did that on this show, we wouldn't put it on the best of reel, would we?
No.
All right, so screw Ellen. Her billions of dollars. All right, we need to take a break, but good news, kiddies. Guess what game is back? That's right, gay walking.
Yay!
Bald Brian, you have a tease?
Which baseball league has a designated hitter?
Real money is wagered. We send pre-op, board op, Gay Bill out on the streets to talk to gay men about hetero questions. Yes, do they know the answers to the questions that the breeders know? Well, we'll gamble on it next. Gay walking.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. We sent Gay Bill the board op out on the streets of West Hollywood to ask gay men questions that every straight man should know the answer to. It's gay walking on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I got my 20 out. T?
Yep.
Yep. Already.
All right. Everyone's got their 20s out. T from the Bay Area has a cultural advantage on us. But she doesn't win every time.
No.
Oftentimes we have tiebreakers, so we're prepared for that in the event that happens. So this is basically a send-up of jaywalking. Jay would go out, talk to folks. They'd give stupid answers. This is the gay version of that. It's called gay walking.
Gay walking.
Gay. Bill wants to know if you know all the things straight guys should know. You're homosexuals. It's time for gay walking, cause you are gay.
La 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 la.
Keep playing it. Keep going.
It's time for gay walking.
There we go. All right. So let's play the tease one more time and begin the gambling.
Which baseball league has a designated hitter?
This is tough. But then his odds are high because there aren't that many choices.
By the way, may I say this?
Yeah.
Nobody does the exhale like the Jews. The Goyim, they go, eh. The Jews are like,
It's one of the areas where we excel.
You definitely do.
I haven't heard that noise from fetching. A woman in quite a while.
I'm going to say does not know.
I'm going to say does not know.
I was thinking does not know, and then I realized, well, there's a 50-50 chance because it's American or the National, and then I realized he might not know American or National. So I'm going doesn't know either. We all say doesn't know. Let's hear the answer.
Which baseball league has a designated hitter?
The Dodgers? I don't know. I don't watch baseball.
Thank you for not disappointing, guys.
Not disappointing at all there.
Nice. You know, a lot of people say I love it when a plan comes together. I love it when a stereotype doesn't disappoint.
Right, me too.
You know, if I'm behind an Asian and they're speeding, I'm actually upset. Even though I'm happy I'm getting to where I'm going faster, I like a stereotype. I love a stereotype. I built my career on it. Okay, T.
Hold on, I'm counting my money.
Yes, and as we've said many times, you losing 20 is like a non-Jew losing a million.
That's how it feels inside because of how much I love money.
Yeah.
I'm busy planning to surrender to whatever country wants me to. Just
French.
I'm Italian.
Oh. Well, we fight for a while until it doesn't look good.
Yeah, until it's not that fun anymore.
Then we let you kill our leader, and then we all go, oh, him? We hated him. He's an ass. Hey, nice work.
We were hot for 1,000 years. We're kind of cooled off now.
All right, let's go on to the next one. So we're all tied up.
Right.
Which beer ad features a team of Clydesdales?
He knows.
If he doesn't make a joke, yes, he definitely knows.
Here's another sad stereotype. When I think about what gays know, I just think about what chicks know.
See, I think about what I know. About sports and manly stuff.
Yeah. I think chicks, and I don't even know if chicks know what Clydesdales are. I know that sounds horrible, T.
Yeah.
I'm going no, does not know. So the two of you say yes. Seems obvious. I'm going to try to break away from the pack. I'm going, he doesn't know. Here we go.
Yay. Which beer ad features a team of Clydesdales?
Budweiser?
No! Hey, damn you to hell, gays!
Clydesdales are horses.
Can you imagine that it took him that long, though? You really had to ponder that.
Is it redundant to say to a gay, I'll see you in hell?
I don't like this. Let's go to the next question.
Hey, baby, I'm a shock jock.
I know.
Just doing my thing.
Let's do some Hold Your Wee for a Wee or something.
2-0 goes the T-Gal and Bonaducci, 1-1 for the Ace Man. Let's continue.
And in the movie Cool Hand Luke, Paul Newman's character says he can eat 50 what?
Oh, no. This is a tough one. I sense a joke might be coming.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say doesn't know.
Boy, this guy sounds really young because it's one of my favorite movies of all time, so I want him to know, but I'm going, doesn't know.
Newman had his shirt off almost that whole movie.
And he was hot.
There's tons of sweaty guys with their shirts off just pounding a pickaxe in slow motion.
I've based a big portion of my life on that movie.
Which part?
To always get back up.
Always get back up, yeah.
When he's getting killed by George Kennedy. And just getting, he can't win, but he won't. He just keeps getting up till George Kennedy can't bring himself to hit him anymore. Always get up.
All right. So Newman's shirt's off. That's a good sign. We don't know if he knows it's eggs. He could be. All right. I agree with you guys. He doesn't know. He does not know.
And in the movie Cool Hand Luke, Paul Newman's character says he can eat 50 what?
Hot dogs. He didn't even slow down.
Thank you, gays. All right, so T, 3-0, Danny, 3-0. I think you're back, by the way,
T. I've had a couple good weeks.
What'd you do? You take a me day? You sleep in a Miata? What'd you do? Go try on some chaps? What'd you do to get back in touch with the gays?
Well, you know.
You catch a scissor sister act or whatever?
Married one.
Yeah, just, what happened?
Just kidding. Just kidding.
How'd you get back in with the gays? You recalibrated your gaydar. What happened?
I know. It's fixed. It's been recalibrated. I was off a couple weeks. I wasn't around my gays enough, and now I'm back. I don't want to curse it. I haven't won yet.
You've been drinking wine coolers. What's been going on with you, baby? All right. Well, I'm going to throw a rock into your radar dish. Let's hear another one.
Who sings the song Bad to the Bone?
Oh, no. It's tough.
Mm.
Ooh. I'm going to say... Wow, I'm divided on this. I'm going to say he knows.
It's got the word bone in it, so he might make a joke. But I'll go with Thurgood on this. I'll say he knows.
Hmm. By the way, George Thorogood's folks really dropped the ball, because when the last name is Thorogood, you go with the dick, or you know, or
Richard,
how about the simple but effective oral?
Ah, thoroughly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's you become a male Bond villain at that point. Like, if I met you at a party.
Yeah.
Hi, what's your name?
Oral.
No, your name's Teresa Strasser.
I'm Teresa Strasser. What's your name?
I'm Oral Thorogood.
Oh, I've heard of you.
Yes.
I've heard you're a myth, but I've heard of you.
Do you like another drink?
I just
want to make things easier.
I would.
I just wouldn't have given him a first name.
Thorogood.
Yeah. What's your name, Thorogood?
All right, George Thorogood, you say he knows, T.
Yeah.
Danny?
I say he knows.
I say doesn't know.
Who sings the song Bad to the Bone?
Bad to the Bone. I don't know. Some hair band? AC/DC?
Thank you, guys.
We're all tied up. No. I think we're tied up.
Are we?
Yep.
We're all tied up. The next smart cocktail is going to be on the Ace Man, Gaze. Thank you for letting me back into your good graces. All right. Let's keep going here. Is this the last question? Mm-hmm. Oh, here we go.
Basketball legend Wilt Chamberlain was nicknamed Wilt the Blank.
He knows.
He knows.
Wow. All right. You both say he knows. So if I say he doesn't know, I walk.
Yeah.
I win.
Yeah, this is for all the marbles.
Or I go with you guys and we go into a three-way tie,
yeah.
Or I lose and you guys do a two-way tie.
Right.
Wilt the Stilt. Now, it just comes flying out of your mouth. Wilt
yeah.
The. On the other hand, it's sports. On the other hand, he's a black man that's hung like a rhino.
On the other hand, I knew.
And on the other hand,
Bonaducci knew.
But Bonaducci may have known because he wrote a book about having sex with 5,000 women.
20,000.
Oh, 20,000 women. Sorry.
Because I did the math and tried to figure out how often he had to do it to cram in 20,000 women.
Mm.
Pardon the expression.
We could ask Mr. Al. A one, a two, a three. All right, old commercial. Here we go. I say doesn't know. I'm rolling the dice and going for the big bucks. Two does. I say doesn't. Let's see.
Basketball legend Wilt Chamberlain was nicknamed Wilt the Blank.
Wilt the Stilt.
No! Damn you! You damn gays!
Wow.
Snake bitten. Gay bitten.
Now we got to do a tiebreaker.
Oh, who cares who wins anymore? This game's over.
Hey, it says the Adam Carolla Show, not the Adam Carolla Dough. I want mine.
All right. We'll do a tiebreaker. You know what? You know what led him into the stilts? He said Wilt the.
Yeah.
It propelled him into stilt.
Right.
Okay. Let's do a tiebreaker.
Who would you rather be with? Adam Carolla or Danny Bonaducci?
I hate this one. I can't wait.
Wait a second. Did you salt the mine in any way, or is that just a straight-out question?
That's just a straight-out question.
Yeah. Nothing straight Damn. About it, but nothing but out about it either.
After he says, I'm Bill from the Adam Carolla Show, so he knows one of those names has a show.
Funny, the straight and out have nothing to do with the bar
but
he was in.
I'm still going with this guy wants to bone me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that leaves me with Adam.
All right,
here,
so.
You gotta just take my money now.
Wow.
Adam's
Danny's bedazzled. And
I should fire you and burn down your friggin' house.
I heard Danny's.
Hey, honey, I don't know the last time you checked the door, but it says Studio P or AM on there for a reason. All right, so if in...
Who do you think he wants?
If in... Wow, he's wearing the big-headed
Look
panties.
Look at me.
if he says Danny, Danny's going to win.
Right.
And if he says Teresa... Teresa and I'll split the money. No, if he says Adam, then if he says Adam, Teresa wins, right?
Right.
Okay.
Please, please, Gaze, you know you want Adam.
Here we go.
Who would you rather be with, Adam Carolla or Danny Bonaducci?
Adam Carolla.
Danny Bonaducci's a drunk. It's gross.
That's right.
You know what? Hey, the gays have taste.
The gays know their crowd, at least.
I'm gay a spooner, too.
Because you are gay.
Thank you.
He's a drunk. It's disgusting. From a guy at Mr. Fister, he's calling me disgusting.
Well, he said he would sleep with you later on when I prodded him. He said he would definitely sleep with you.
Yeah, did you actually prod him?
After Adam.
Yeah. Had I not had to give up $20, I'd go prod the guy right now and just say thank you, but if you can get it now.
Most people don't prod through a stall door. That's the only difference.
Larry Craig.
Hey, Nikki?
Yes?
Do you want it to say quickly?
Yes, I just wanted to say, I called a couple weeks ago about the tipping from Mastros, the celebrities.
Yes.
And I just want to say that I thought that I loved Howard Stern the most in the world, but you are the best.
Well, thank you.
God bless.
I did not think that I could live without him, but I can. I would definitely pick you over him.
Well, thank you.
Chubby.
I'm this close to getting that Sirius out of these headphones, by the way, and listening to this show.
You have it piped right in.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I'm not. I can hear my own voice.
I'm not Robin. This is Teresa.
What happened to you? All right. Hey, Nikki?
Yes.
Thank you.
I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you, and I love you, and I love you. All right. T?
Yeah?
Choke on that wad of money. We'll take a break. We'll be back to wrap it up. Just enough time to give out some thanks where thanks are due. Kyle Chandler, Friday Night Lights. He's the Papa and the Coach. Season premiere tomorrow, 9 p.m. NBC. George Carlin. The great one, now even greater, because he said he was a fan of mine. Oh, I'll never wash that ear again. George Carlin, All My Stuff, out now. And he's going to be at the Gibson Amphitheater tomorrow night. Joe Rogan. Man's man.
So crazy last night.
And a very deep thinker. He's going to be at the Playboy Comedy Show Saturday at the Palms in Vegas. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Go cry to your bald mom, you effing loser.